Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and early afternoon. Welcome to Ampoule Live, episode number 24, lesson 7, man. So today we're gonna get into a few things, man. We're gonna talk about divine help. We'll talk about Venus went retrograde yesterday, so we got a little whiplash effect that's about to take place. The planet that rules finances, planet that rules relationships. And what a coincidence too. We are also on lesson 7, which lesson 7. For you and your birth chart, you've been following us through the wheel. Lesson 7, the 7th house is the house of relationships. And for me, I find it funny, a little divine wink, that sometimes we just, you on time all the time without necessarily knowing that you on time. And what I mean is when I decided to start the 7-week, the 12-week lessons that we get into, I didn't plan for lesson 7 to be specifically this week, where the planet Venus that rules the seventh house or the seventh zodiac sign, which is Libra, to go retrograde one day before lesson seven. Like, you know, that's just how it works sometimes, you know. So, but anyway, before we get into that, of course, visit the website myastrologycoach.com. Click on the events tab. First up, right now is we have early registration for the spring equinox where we'll be in New Orleans, man. So the Big Easy Magic Tour in the spring is going to be off the chain. You know, I keep talking about the spiritual significance in New Orleans. And if you never heard it before, it's just the only city on the earth that lines up with the Mississippi River and the Pyramid Complex and the Sphinx of Giza. So it creates this 90-degree angle where a lot of light comes in at. So it's gridded. It's gridded on Egypt, literally, all right? And then, like I said, the Mississippi is a vortex in itself, which will be considered our Nile River, one of our Nile rivers of the West, all right? So we'll be there on a Big Easy Magic Tour to spend the whole day in New Orleans on Saturday, Sunday, take you to a remote location, show you where the ancients used to get it in at. In that particular aspect of the land, all right? So that is the spring equinox. Also, man, market calendars. For those of you that can get to the Midwest, even though if you're on the East Coast, you can get to the Midwest in Ohio. February 16th, I'll be releasing the Jewish Ransom on Black Power, Columbus, Ohio Exposed. I'm going in with my man D-Lo, who'll be in Columbus. And we'll actually be at the Ngozi Barbershop, which is located at 4430 Westerville Road. And the phone number for more information for that, hit my man D-Lo up, 614-202-4512. And 614-202-4512. Again, it's February 16th, I'll be going in on a Jewish Ransom on Black Power, Columbus, Ohio Exposed. Then the very next week, February 23rd, that Sunday, same location, Eileen Bay will be in town, so he'll be in Ohio, and he'll be dealing with the laws of attraction, the science of manifestation. I actually had the pleasure of opening up for the good brother that week as well, so you can get a little knockout punch in there and show y'all something dealing with the seven bodies of light real fast while he goes into the laws of attraction, the science of manifestation. So that's February the 23rd, and then right back again. On the next weekend, March the 2nd, I'll do the whole seven bodies of light demonstration with the aura machine. So if you never had an aura reading, you'd like to get an aura reading, come on out, man. The admission is only $10, all right? So come on out, make it happen. You know what I'm saying? If you got a mega bus from, if you from, you know, all points west, St. Louis, even if you're in Pittsburgh, it's a little east, but you from St. Louis, Chi-Town area, Memphis, Louisville, whatever, man, make it happen, man. Those of you in Ohio, get there. You know what I'm saying? It's going to be phenomenal. So February 16th, the Jewish Ransom on Black Power, Columbus, Ohio Exposed, going to go in and show you what Columbus, Ohio is, particularly Columbus in itself, right? And then February 23rd, like I said, man, Eileen Bay will be in town, man. So that'll be me and Eileen there, all right? So, again, hit my man D-Lo up for more info, 614-202-45. 1-2. All right. Also on the website, man, we got a 5-month Mac University class that's starting up in early February. So if you're interested in learning astrology and then coming over into the Kabbalistic aspect, we teach this class only. We're going to really only open it up twice a year. All right. Only twice a year for me to really sit down with you and really for us to impart this information with you, share it with you. Especially getting into the Kabbalistic chambers of information, man. Phenomenal stuff. And I'm going to talk a bit about why that's important when I talk about Mars in a second, all right? So that 5-month course is available. You can see that smack dab on the front page of the website, myastrologycoach.com, and it's the online classes and stuff. You can see that little box right there. Just check it out. You know, check it out if you're interested and take this journey. Graduation will be held at the Inner Peace Lighthouse, Toki Shalom Orbat, out in Colorado and Denver, which is a location that we have, which in 2014 we'll be doing a lot of spiritual work out in the Colorado area, which is, you know, a mile above sea level to give you that high elevation. right? So we'd be out there doing a lot of work in 2014, man. So that's where the graduation will be held at. We have a private, nice little enclosed backyard with a deck where we're going to start building the garden this year. And, you know, just have it real peaceful, real yin style, real just very peaceful. And it's just a place that we go to where we want to seek, you know, spiritual refuge and build in peace. You know what I mean? It's very important for me, you know, me speaking for myself, is very important to attain inner peace. The teachers call it inner enlightenment and then outer enlightenment, right? So it's very important that, you know, we start working on these divine principles of Shalom ASAP. So 2014, I may be a little bit more or less quiet. In fact, to be honest with you, I don't even know if I'm going to make all 12 of these lessons. I put some powerful shows together for you so you can get it. But 2014, just taking a different direction on some things. And you'll see what's happening. Tune in every Friday, though, man. Every Friday, I've committed myself all the way up to the spring equinox every Friday to give free readings. All right, so if you need a free session with myself and Keisha on a double dose, man, it's one of the most powerful readings you'll ever receive in your life, for real. Tune in on Friday at 12 noon, but you can call in 15 minutes to 12, so at 11:45 a.m. East Coast time. Call in, because that's the earliest that the studio will allow phone calls and the lines be jam-packed because it's a free session with the best of the best, all right? So that's every Friday right here. You get free readings, all right? Also, check out the blog, of course, man, both blogs. Blog on myastrologycoach.com. It's a crystal of the day being dropped by Cassandra. Tarot card of the day being dropped by Keisha. I do a daily Zohar post talking about the Catalytic Wisdom. And Brittany drops a post dealing with energies of the day. And even sometimes Namaswami comes through and drop a number of the day. So just a lot of spiritual information that we commit to on the MyAstrologyCoach.com blog. And then for those of you that's into hip-hop or want to learn how this stuff manifests itself through physical stars, people who we call stars of Hollywood, stars of hip-hop, visit HipHopAstrology.com, where Minister Prime Minister Ju is over there blogging relentlessly and just really dropping some jewels. It's phenomenal stuff that you see play out through stardom and from the celestial stars above. And big shout out to Dream Catcher Studios, man. Taya, we was this weekend, the Prime Minister and the family was down, and we was able to go to the studio and work on this new release, this new DVD that's coming out called Kanye West on the MC. And spiritual analysis of Kanye West is just bananas, phenomenal. Minister Ju went in the studio and lost his mind. And I got footage of spirits in the studio with us. You know what I'm saying? Like every time we roll, it happens like that, man. It's just really a blessing. But be on the lookout for that as well, man. So, again, visit the other website, hiphopastrology.com. All right? Also, mark your calendars for Thursday, January the 2nd. At 9 p.m., Sheikh Ahmed is back. It's going to be the Three Wise Men Radio, so that's what you'll be seeing a lot of in 2014, where we have spiritual conversation with the Prime Minister. Be up first, the Gemini, the Kent. He'll open it up 20 minutes by himself, and then Sheikh Ahmed will come along, who is a Libra, master in his own right, former Minister of the Nation of Islam, Sufi comedic shape now, showing you the comedic science and Islam is one science and whatnot. And then yours truly, the Aquarius, on the back end, coming with the Kabbalistic aspect from Hebrews from Hebrew perspective, the metaphysical aspect of whatever it is we're discussing. So actually on January the 2nd, the topic is actually called The Whore and the Guru. You're talking about what is the whore? All right, so this is going to, I don't even want to give it up. So The Whore and the Guru is Thursday, January the 2nd, man, at 9 p.m. Eastern time right here. If you missed that other show, the other show was called The Mysteries of Abraham. That was the first show we did. And really, man, we really working to work on bringing this in the new year, bi-weekly. So every 2 weeks, we three brothers will get together from a different perspective and just build on spiritual conversation uninterrupted, so you can hear three different perspectives of wisdom being shared. And then we open up the lines and have you chime in. So it's going to be very educational. Most importantly, it's universal. You see what I'm saying? So be on the lookout for that. So mark your calendars for Thursday, January 2nd at 9 p.m. All right? Also, January the 1st, the new year, got the seven-week online miracle prayer class that I'm hosting myself. It's going to be off the chain, man. So anybody that's that knows the miracle prayer, was known as the miracle prayer, it's an Anna Pecor. Why does this prayer have so much power? The mere fact that you're looking at six words by seven different phrases, which is 46 times 7 is 42. Anytime you're dealing with six, you're dealing with perfection. Anytime you're dealing with seven, you're dealing with the seven rays of light in the color spectrum, which turns out to be the 7 days of the week, which then in turn deals with the seven archangels before the throne. So therefore, each particular line of the prayer corresponds to a certain angel. So in this particular course, we're going to focus on, each week we're going to focus on a particular line of the prayer and really work it and be in tune with the light. If you haven't seen the picture, join the mailing list because I'm going to send it out today. Join the mailing list. But, you know, on the invitation to this course right here, one of my favorite students, Sue, took a picture of her husband while shoveling the snow, and you can see this divine big old, I mean, this thing is humongous, a big old light, a big old ball of light, you know, not too far from his left shoulders right there. Why? And that's the thing. When I speak of divine luminous beings, this is not a cliche term in, hey, peace, love, and light. No. I'm actually talking about there is an intelligence that appears in our reality that looks like light. It is light. A blinding light, all right? And that's what I'm talking about, all right? So this prayer will show you how to get in tune with that light in the archangel who actually governs this particular portion of the prayer. And then you can do things to enhance the prayer, certain as candles, certain color candles, even scent if you want to. And you're going to understand that the power of this line and the things that it say the first line may deal with, closing off negativity, right? And then you can identify the things that you want to identify what you perceive to be negative. And then you put that on the candle. And for the power, the duration of that week, you're going to say this particular word, especially on one of those days of the week is a specific day that's a power day, obviously, because it's an angelic day. Angels really rule angles of light. That's what angels do. They're fixed points of light. You see what I'm saying? Now, as you're in a system, let's just say a 360-degree system of light, as you go through four seasons that you can visually see, temperature change, which simply means the vibration is changing, right? So therefore, as vibrations change, then angelic posts change too. Certain forces govern over certain things. See what I'm saying? So 2014, I'm just going to go bananas and give it all up to you so we can make it happen, all right? So be on the lookout for that. Again, that's January 1st. So you have to just go to the website, My Astrology Coach, click on classes, or click on learn, and it's right there. It's right there. And I invite you to take this journey because the new year, January 1st, the new year, January 1st, is indeed the new year, all right? Because the sun in the earth's relationship, the earth is the absolute closest to the sun at this particular time. So when you're on the east or anywhere, you're at your time zone at 12 midnight. Cinderella had to be home at midnight. The Zohar teaches us that at midnight there's a tremendous amount of mercy and spiritual influx of energy that's coming into the earth. Right now, this is really done because what's happening is at midnight, obviously, we at the dead middle of darkness at that particular point. So this is the whole magic behind Cinderella right here. So this influx of light is coming to the earth at this particular time. So saying, man, look, man, I'm about to give it all up. Saying that to say that, you know, this class right here is going to be a very, very fun, interactive class of prayer. And since this is the new year, because Sirius is right here, right? Sirius is right here at the Midhaven, meaning the Midhaven means the meridian or the south. When you look due south, remember in John Hancock, he told him, meet me in the south, because that's when the sun is at its highest peak, usually at 12 noon lunchtime, depending what time of year, but, you know, high noon lunchtime, the sun is at the south, it's in the middle of the day. In Freemasonry, we are taught that, okay, we have three stations in Lodge. In the east is wisdom, that's the worshipful master, and that's where the sun rises at. So, therefore, his wisdom is to represent the sun. All right, he's supposed to know, truthfully, he really supposed to know celestial science if he a real worshipful master. He's supposed to know the celestial science of what's going on between the Earth's relationship and planetary bodies. And then in the south at high noon, so let's say the sun rises in the morning at 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. And at high noon, the sun is in the south now. So this is the junior warden station. What's your duty there, Brother Junior Warden? The junior warden is the one that represents beauty, because that the sun is at its highest apex in the sky, and this is surely a beautiful thing. Therefore, the junior warden, so his job is to make sure that brothers go to and from refreshment and be back on time, right? So then we move to the next station. In the evening time, the sun is about to set in the west. So you have Brother Senior Warden, what's your duty there? So Brother Senior Warden's job is to say, hey, I represent strength because I sit opposite you, worshipful master, so I'm second in charge here. You see what I'm saying? Because really what's about to happen now is the Senior Warden in next year's election, he's about to go move up in the chair. He's about to go to the east. The Junior Warden, who's in the south, is about to move to the west. It is a brother that's maybe one of the deacons, he'll move into the Junior Warden. So we're rotating around the lodge, imitating celestial movements based off the wisdom of a celestial knowledge in your dome, right? So there's no one in the north. There's no station in the north because the north is said to be so dark that the rays of the sun can't penetrate Solomon's temple because it's dark outside. So therefore, when you're a new candidate in Lodge, we sit you in the north. Have a seat, you know, so you're blind right now. You can't see. All right, but the Zohar teaches that tremendous influx of light comes through. So that's the south. When you get into the south aspect, the highest point in the sky on New Year's Day, that's where Sirius sits at the high point in the sky. So the actual Earth is closest to the sun, while at the same time, Sirius is dead on the Midhaven at midnight. Y'all better leave New Year's alone. Leave it alone. Stop being emotional. I'm going to get into that. Especially when I release Jewish ransom on Black Power in Columbus, Ohio, exposed. All right, so definitely if you can, get there February 16th and come right back out February 23rd. All right, so anyway, we're going to embark on a new year on a 7-week journey embracing the light. So just don't go outside and pop your pistols and go to the club and drink. And you know, no. Do you do that if that's what you went to? But it's important that we start to embrace the divine luminous light because it is available and it keeps showing up. Why is it showing up to me personally? Why is it showing up in my spectrum of reality? Why is it showing up in pictures that I take, or I got the camcorder going, or my friends, or people who say, I want to learn this, Ampu. I don't know what you know, so can you show me how this works? And I say, sure. And you call them students, I guess. I just like sharing information. So, you know, and then it starts showing up in their reality. What is this? What is this really all about? And then come to find out that this light is something that has been recorded for eons of time, talking about this light, right? So I'm like, hold up, there's something to this. So the new year 2014, listen, I'm embracing the pure blinding light of love of the Creator. And anybody that want to take that journey, I invite you to take this journey and let's do it and watch what happens. Magnificent things happen, all right? All right, so we're going to talk about divine help. We're going to talk about Venus retrograde, lesson 7, and relationships, and let's get into it. So help, genuine help. I made a note here that let me talk about Mars first. Mars is in a nasty position in Libra that I talked about a few shows ago, and it's going to be here until the end of July. So you might as well just say August the 1st, everything is done, even though it's really done in late July. But give yourself, you know, a little bit of breathing room so you know it's gone. And there's a triangle taking place that's easily the triangle of death. And I'm not going to get all into the days that it reaches its apex because I did that before. But Mars is in Libra and in opposition to Uranus and Aries. And then both of them are squaring off on Pluto and Capricorn in the middle. And this is a nasty alignment. It's very violent, very volatile. Outside of it is you can get a lot. You can get some things done, but it may be some power struggles and whatnot. But you had the power to endure and transform some things in your life, but I doubt if it comes without no friction. And friction is good. Resistance is good because resistance makes you stronger. It's like a tree that defies gravity that says, I'm going to grow upward. In fact, I'm going to grow, break out the ground, and I'm going to grow upward, right? It's a weird phenomenon that resistance makes us stronger, especially when you work out. The resistance makes you stronger, bigger, more toned, right? Makes you better. So it's good. You got to understand what resistance is. My whole thing is I just don't ever want anybody who I can get a word out to via radio or whatever. I don't want no one to experience what we perceive to be bad things that was unforeseen in your life. All of a sudden you're met with it. I want to try to prevent that. That's my main concern. I'm not just saying, oh, this is bad. And no. I talk about the extremes of both sides of energy because I want you to be aware of that, because you have to make a choice when the energy is present on what you want to do. So what I did, this was on me so tough. I said, I have to be able not just sound the alarm. I have to be able to put something together, knowing what I know, put something together. These divine lights, these divine beings of light, angels, the creator himself, if he, she, if they exist, and I know they do, then you should be able to help the people out by composing a prayer. Right? And I did that. And it was called, I composed something called the Mars Prayer on Mars Prayer, and it's on parchment paper, and it's on an audio CD, right? It's on the CD where you can listen to some instructions. And I've composed a script on parchment in Hebrew that deals with countering the evil, let's just call it for what it is, the evil red ray of Mars. All right? And I also took it upon myself to create a table of rising times of this particular body. And also there's another body that you – see, remember, we live in a world of duality, male, female, yin, yang, up, down, left, right. You know, duality. All day we can see it. But this duality is really one. But we live in a world of duality, right? Strange. We need to come together to blend it, salt, pepper, right? And – there is, for every force out there, there is a polar opposite force that can balance that energy out and neutralize it. This is the science, right? So I know what energy is there. So I had everybody who got the Mars CD and Parchment Prayer have a specific timeline, an 8-month timeline, on when to understand when energies are rising. What are you talking about, energies rising, Ample? Well, in the morning when the sun comes up, well, it looks like it comes up, but, of course, really the earth is spinning in that direction. That rising for us marks a new day, especially in nature, because birds start to become active and they fly out their nest for the first time and go looking for food, and they're chirping and singing, and people are getting ready to go to work. Well, that's just dealing with the sun, because it's the primary luminary of our solar system. We pay attention to that. But when all these other planetary bodies first come up, they send a subtle ray of their energy, a wave, come into our reality, and then we potentially start to act according to the ray. So if you know where the evil one is, the red eye one, and you know what the counterforce is, now you know you can be conscientious and say, hey, at this time I'm going to choose to communicate, take a little time out, communicate and get in tune. And in fact, I'm actually going to invoke divine luminous beings to help me with this particular energy that is now present. And you're recognizing the energy patterns of the creator. The prime minister said this in a DVD on this Kanye West thing. He said, the Illuminati can't control planetary movements. And I said, geez, that's a heavy statement, and that's right. So you're paying respect to the Most High when the Most High said, these laws that got the planet spinning at these terrific speeds, some say 1,086 miles per hour, going through their orbit, that intelligence that has the Earth right now floating in the darkness space as we speak, but yet it doesn't look like it because the sun is out right now, it's visible, those laws right there, the laws that say when you get so many miles off the Earth, you start to float. Those laws, I didn't create those laws. And if I did, I don't remember because I'm only using a very small portion of my brain, so maybe I did, but I don't remember. But I know I'm affected by these laws, and I know I can interact with these laws, all right? And then you can start to bend these laws. I'm an airbender or something. You can't start to bend the laws once you go through certain spiritual disciplines and whatnot. So you're paying a respect to the omnipresent of the creators, what we're doing. So we created this. So as soon as I created it, now check this out. On Tuesday, which is governed by Mars, I received an email, and I know she on the line, and it said, Ampu, this prayer works. I decided to make a prayer list to pray for people I love and care about. Today, my best friend got in a car accident. Under normal circumstances, she would have died because she was hit on the passenger side by a dump truck and her car was pushed into oncoming traffic from the opposite direction and no one else was injured. Her car was totaled and the only injuries she has are whiplash and stiff shoulders. Thank you again for the guidance. Now, something told her to pray for her best friend before an event took place. And then it took place. Car totaled out by a dump truck. But, in fact, she later hit me and said the only thing she was concerned about was, is her shoes in the trunk all right? Because she's a Taurus with value and taste ruled by Venus. So she walked away out of that. Now, what is the creator trying to show her who prayed, the friend, Naima, who prayed for her friend before the event happened, that the light and the prayer is a sign from the Most High that you are to follow your spiritual intuition at all times, at all times. Say it one more time, at all times. So Brother James chimed in, and he said, peace and blessings to you, my brothers. I want to thank you for sharing the insight you have given me. Today, I'm actually doing something that I've been trying to do for the last 10 to 15 years, and that is take time off from everything to cleanse and prepare myself for the transition of the season / year. He said, the Mars prayer has been working for me in the respect that things have been moving so smoothly and have been cooperative in the past, and things tend to have been very chaotic during this time of year. He said, I only seen the shadow of their pre-intentions, and I thank you many times over for sharing peace and love, and have a wonderful and blessed trip. A trip he's talking about is the one Solstice private ceremony that we did, and I get into that. So he has a yearly, he identifies something in the yearly thing that had nothing to do with Mars. But see, Mars gives you power. And when you learn how to tap into the energy, it starts to help you accelerate and move forward in life. That's why his glyph is a circle with an arrow coming out. All right? So that's two things coming off the Mars aspect, because this is a very, very dangerous situation right here. I'm serious about this. How do you identify this if this relates directly to you? Simple. I want you to look in your birth chart. I want you to see if you have any planets in Cancer. I want you to see if you have any planets in Libra, any planets in Capricorn, and any planets in, what's that other sign? I said Libra, I said Capricorn, 3, 4, 7, and 10. I'm missing something. Oh, did I get them all? I got them all. Capricorn. All right. So let me make sure I got it right. I want you to make sure you got anything in, Aries. There it was. If you got anything in Aries, if you got anything in Cancer, if you have anything in Libra, anything in Capricorn, any planets were there when you were born, or if that is your rising sign, your IC, your DC, or your MC on those four cardinal points, then guess what? You fit the bill too. All right, you with the cardinal cross, if you got a cardinal cross on any of these angles, you're going to fit the bill more so probably than the person with the planet right there. Ah, yeah, look at that. All right, so that's how you identify that. The best thing, that my best offering at this particular time was to literally give the offering from the heart of the Mars prayer and on parchment paper. And so when you get it, I advise you to laminate it or frame it. All right, and then I give you the instructions when these planets arise and how to tap into the angelic force. Very, 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 very important. Because guess what? This stuff changed, right? So right now you're seeing that the sun is setting very early in the day. Now, from this point forward, the days slowly but surely get longer again already. So we had just reached the maximum amount of tilt away from the sun. Now the earth is about to start tilting in a different direction towards the sun because the days are now about to start becoming longer. All right? So in these galactic portals, you got to learn how to inject thoughts into it. But my point of saying that is, what happens when you have bodies in the sky? They don't rise at the same time every day. The earth is spinning. She's the one that's actually going through zodiac signs around the sun, although the sun appears to be going through the zodiac sign, right? So she on the move. She on the go. She ain't going to be right here where the sun look like it's rising at 6 o'clock every morning. No, that's not always true. It's not always true because we're living in real-time motion. So these different planetary bodies, as the earth is spinning past them or approaching them, the time orientation changes over a duration of time, period. So you got to know this. So every day at 6 o'clock, celestially, that don't mean nothing technically in a sense because nothing is at the same position every day at 6 o'clock in your reality. Nothing. It may be for a certain amount of time. But I promise you, within 2 weeks to a month, you're going to see something else at that exact same time. You see? But this is what stargazers do. So, anyway, check out the Mars Prayer on Parchment, man, because it outlines this. You know, that's the absolute best that I really could do to try to prevent the experience, and I believe that we have prevented an experience in the first testimonial that I gave you. All right. Where we at here? Oh, so I want to talk about genuine help. I want to talk about something for a minute. Consciousness and giving. You know, I knew going into this year that I wanted to give to people who are in a less fortunate position than I am, and help them through the Christmas season. And me knowing what I know and I think to a degree, just remembering as my own journey of coming into consciousness, coming into information. And when you come into information, you be like, you know, you start to shun the old things, the Bible, and you start getting into history, and you start saying, oh, wait a minute, hold on. And you mean to tell me in 325 A.D. there was something called the Council of Nice that came together and said, hey, the Trinity is now the doctrine of the world. Put Jesus Christ in this as the main mix. And we're going to take from these books and not omit these books. And then you start to go on later and say, wait a minute, man. You go back further, you see that you taught you know, Egyptians and African people taught European people stuff, and then later European people come and totally annihilate and smash not only the cultural centers where your heritage is at, but they end up dominating the world, and then the Jesus story becomes the horror story. And then you want to, you know, you look at certain things and you'd be like, you denounce everything because it's like, wait a minute, this ain't the way of life right here. I've been lied to. But then for me, coming to an understanding and say, oh, wait a minute. You mean to tell me, like Bobby Hemmen said recently, right, who was like, the Mexicans was asking him, do you believe in Jesus? You believe in Jesus? And Bobby said, yeah, why should I believe in Jesus? And he said, because Jesus is Horus. I'm talking about the Bobby Hemmen after the stroke talking. Like, this is, yeah, I believe in Jesus because that's Horus. Absolutely, I believe in Jesus. It wasn't his job to try to convince them that, hey, Jesus is actually Horus. It's not for that. It's the principle. So then the question becomes, if the principle of a Jesus, a Mary, and the Creator is really something that comes from ancient wisdom, then the core of the story is actually correct. If the story is really a solar, lunar mythology about astronomical sciences, Jesus, the Lamb of God, the sun in the sky, traveling amongst the 12 disciples, or the sun going through the 12 zodiac signs through the precession of the equinox, which appears to go backwards. Your zodiac on how we count says Aries, Taurus, Gemini, Cancer, but the precession goes in a different direction that says we're in the age of the Lamb of God, Aries, but next will be the age of Pisces, which then becomes Jesus meeting his first two people who are the two fishermen, the brothers, which is now by procession we are in Pisces. And now let's go journey to see my cousin John the Baptist, the water barrier, Aquarius, by procession. You understand? So if this is a solar mythology and lunar mythology, because Easter is a lunar thing. Easter is based upon the Paschal full moon, the first full moon after the spring equinox, which the spring equinox at that time represents the Pascha or Passover, talking about the sun rising above the celestial equator. So so Easter Sunday, all right, is predicated on the first Sunday after the first full moon from the spring equinox. So this is a lunar solar mythology being played out in the religious context. So is the story necessarily wrong now? I can't dismiss it as a priest and someone who knows the heavenly motion. It's actually ingenious. We've done it all the time. Isis, Horus, we always done it. Someone else came into a knowledge of it. We give it to them. We teach them. Political indifferences, jealousy, whatever the case may be, someone else start to rule, push it, but at the core, it's you. So can you dismiss it? Absolutely not, because at the core, it's you. And most importantly, it's a universal, and when I say universal, I am talking about a cosmic alignment, a law. That's a real law. So I wanted to embark on a journey and say, I give to people, families, mothers, and children in the less fortunate position to me. I don't care about your religious affiliation. So we created the first annual Christmas drive, right, that many of you heard me advertise and whatnot. And, you know, I ain't going to get into how many people participated because it ain't really about that. And people busy. I understand, man. Things get tied up in some things. So we gave to the YWCA. I don't care about the Christian Alliance. I don't care. I really don't. I know at the end of the day, they're doing something that I physically can't do, which is house
collectively thousands, if not millions, of displaced women and children and feed them and help them get on their feet. I can't do that. That's a great deed. So I have to ask myself, well, God, why would you allow this to exist if the doctrine that they're teaching is evil? Well, because evil can exist in this world, I guess, right, obviously. Or maybe they do enough great things that actually counteracts and destroys what we perceive to be their negative ways based off the past and or present, right? So I said to me, oh, wait a minute, the earth is at its closest point to the sun, and at the same time it reaches its maximum tilt. This is called the winter solstice, where it appears that the sun sits still for 3 days in the sky, right? And on the third day, December 25th, the sun starts to rise again. So this whole resurrection is a solar mythology. And the winter starts, so we move inside, move into the sign of Capricorn, which means, and at the same time, I'm looking around me, everything in nature is totally dead. It's wintertime. But the pine tree itself is the only tree that says, I still hold on to everything I got. And then when you understand symbolism, the pine tree represents immortality because it says, I never die. Everything else around me die. Look at all these other trees. They some suckers. When the cold grip of Saturn, the devil comes, and the goat comes, your Baphomet Capricorn energy, which you think is the devil. When the cold grips of nature of the devil come, the pine tree says, I'm here to stand. I am immortal, part of nature. Study me. So then people actually say, oh, you know what? I'm going to bring this tree inside my house. And I'm actually going to also give gifts to the people that I love. So I questioned myself. I said, well, wait a minute. Is that necessarily wrong? You got some good, honest people who would never study this science a day in their life. They'll never study astronomical phenomena, let alone get into, they won't even go into history, what happened, let alone to get them to study and grasp and fully understand the astronomical concept and how that actually affects human behavior, that the participants for that understanding becomes even smaller. You understand what I'm saying? So there's a cosmic law taking place, but yet people want to give within a portal of a cosmic day. And I said, wow, is that necessarily a bad thing? I don't think it is. You can't convince me that it is. It's not. The essence of the story is a cosmic story. The essence of the story is actually rooted in your mythology and in the physical act of giving and loving and kindness. And these people don't know what you know. But they're demonstrating more love and kind acts than a lot of us are. At what point do we just become so conscious that, look, this is insanity. We become so conscious that we disconnect ourselves and divorce ourselves from cosmic rhythm days. And you say, you know what, I ain't giving nobody nothing on this day because just the white man created that religion. I ain't giving nobody nothing because I ain't doing it, right? But in truth, they're just showing acts of, say, hey, man, this is the time that you give an act of love. Who you think gave it to them? See, you can't have it both ways. You can, but you're gonna be foolish. Either you gave it to them or you didn't. And if you did, then everything that they got is you. Meaning everything happens by the will of the creator. So I'm stepping up into the realm of the God mind that says, no, this is permissible for me. I'm with this right here because this is a cosmic celebration. So celebrate, and I want you to give, right? So I got to a point, and I've been there, but I got to a point where I said, I just not only do I understand the universal aspect of what these different spiritual teachings are. For you in the realm of Aquarius is the realm of the universal one. It's the only sign that says, I know. Everybody else got something else. I think, I feel, I do, I want, you know, I am. No. How about I know what this is? It's the only age that you can really come into the full understanding of knowing. So So you got to know the universal principle, everything in existence around you. Because guess what? If you truly believe in the God in some of you don't, and that's okay. But still, I'm talking to the ones that do. If you really believe, because again, that law that says the sun shall appear to rise and set, these will be the seasons. That law of gravity, those laws, because you can't see air, right? And you need air for life. These some things you just can't see that you know is there. And we done got to a point where there's actually intelligent light beings that you can't see most of us can't see with the physical eye, but the technology of a camera, high resolution pixels can catch it now. So it's beings that exist there. So for me, and I see these beings keep showing up, and this is something that's written about talking about light, I can't throw the God thing out the window now. There's no such thing as a mystery God up in heaven. Damn it, you in heaven. What are you talking about? The earth is floating in space. And I keep seeing divine light beings pop up. I cannot ignore that. I cannot say that it ain't this God that may exist as a big structure of light. I can't ignore that. So I can't divorce myself from cosmic principles. I do that for a living. I'm not going to divorce myself from these cosmic rhythms. And neither should you. Never should your conscience get to a point where you think that you shun somebody else's spiritual understanding or where they at, man. You got some really good people on this earth who have Christian ethics that say, you know what, we're going to have a house for women and children, and we believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And they have done more work than you have and I have individually. They've done way more work to help people that's starving in the hood. I can go right around the corner right now, and I can see homeless people, and they're going to be in this church eating good all throughout the week. Every day they open up the kitchen for them. I'm going to go get my tooth pulled for $10, and they didn't even ask me for the 10. They had it on the form, didn't even ask me for the 10, but I gave them the 10. Because they believe in Christian ethics. So when you go back and you look and you say, whoa, because there's a big Moorish Renaissance right now, right? And you go back, which is by far, for me, my favorite aspect of history. It was so universal. It was Judaism, Gnosticism, Christianity, Islam, anything you wanted to practice could thrive there in Moorish Spain. But damn, it's the same thing here in America. Anything you want to practice, you can practice it. Go do you. Yeah, you may have some opposition sometime on something if you get too up. But it ain't my fault that you don't want to fight back, which now we can get into that. Because I be hearing some of the most insane stuff sometimes, certain organizations may have been created by the government, right, or the Black Panther Party, right? And I say, man, listen to this. You mean to tell me that the CIA said, we are a part of a system that oppressed black folks, clearly. And I want to fight these black folks because that's what we do. It's the 60s, and we want to spray them with water hoses. We don't want to let them vote, and we're going to beat them upside the head. So let's do this. Because we already spraying them with hoses and beating them upside the head and sticking dogs on them. And we already got a group called the KKK that if they even catch them, they put the work in on them. But let's do this. Let's go create a group called Black Panthers, and let's educate them about gun laws and have them police their neighborhood and walk around with a shotgun in their head, wear military clothing to excite the people, and allow them to, and also educate them on feeding their own people. And then when enough of them throughout the country get organized, we can go to war. Well, okay, I'm going to tell you what that is to me. That means that for some reason, if somebody went to that extent to motivate you and to educate you and to play that kind of trick on you, that the people of that time were severe cowards because it took someone to do a hell of a pump fake to make it look like you was about it, just so they can later come and put that work in on you in the form of a conflict, which never even took place like that. You understand what I'm saying? See, at what point do we understand the mindset of the Creator? The psychology of God, will you say the Illuminati put Barack Obama right there? No. And I'm not saying people don't exist that try to be at conflict and control. I'm not saying that. What I am saying is that don't override the power and will of the Creator. You understand what I'm saying? Anyway, so back to the Christmas thing. That's why I gave, because it was understanding a universal principle at play here. All right? And I'm going to get into it on the Jewish Ransom on Black Power, Columbus, Ohio Exposed. Oh, you're going to see it. I'm going to show it to you. I'm going to show it to you of what this thing is really about. All right? So, moving on to the next subject, the Venus retrograde officially took place yesterday, started yesterday, retrograde activity all the way up to January 21st. All right, so you got a good month, but remember it's a shadow period and everything, so it's a month of this wind tunnel effect. If we could dim the lights of the sun, you would see Venus right now. And what's happening is Venus is... the Venus-Earth relationship are the closest planet relationships in the solar system. They're only 22 million miles away from the Earth. So this is why now when the sun sets at night in the evening time on the western horizon, what do you see? You see a big old bright star, and that's not a star. That's Venus, right? So technically, that means that that planet Venus, the sun has set, and then it's Venus, then it's us. That means Venus is actually traveling in between our viewpoint to the sun, right? The sun had just set, so Venus is there. So Venus is going around the sun, and she's going in between. As we're really seeing her, she's actually cutting. That space is cutting in between our relationship with the sun, our viewpoint. So from this point forward, since we see her, the Earth technically will appear to be moving backwards if you were on Venus, looking at the Earth, because Venus is closer to the sun, moving around the sun much faster. You see what I'm saying? So there's a cosmic wind tunnel that's being created because there's a passing of two planets. That's what a retrograde is. A retrograde in your reality is when either A, Mercury or Venus are passing the Earth. Those are Mercury retrogrades, Venus retrogrades. And everything else, those other planets, is when the planet Earth is passing those planets by. And those become Mars retrogrades, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and so forth. Okay? So for a month now, this wind tunnel was taking place. Venus traditionally is the goddess finances, and it's the goddess that rules our relationships. Now, let's get into lesson 7. Where we at on time? Top of the hour, cool. Lesson 7. All right? Talking about relationships, looking at your birth chart. On your birth chart, I want you to go to the 7th house cusp, where it says DC represents the descendant. This area of space controls your relationships. Has a heavy influence on your relationships, which you are attracted to in relationships. Now, my homie Casilda is on the line, and she asked me, well, is it based off the, when you look at your chart, is it based off your birth chart, or is it your birthday, but the city of birth is now where you're at in space and time? And I look at both. Because where you're at on the Earth obviously changes the projection of starlight.
That's true, right? So the further you go north, the colder it may become. The further you go south, the hotter it may become. You see what I'm saying? So your reality changes when you move locations. Absolutely. Changes. All right? But today I'm just talking about the nail aspect or whatever you want to, as long as you know what it is. If you want to change your city to where you're at, whatever you got right there is pretty much, if it changes, it's a new vibration right there for you. So you change your destiny by changing your reality. I could be destined to be a superstar in Philadelphia. But if I change my location and say, I'm moving to the Shy, I can change my reality by changing. I change my destiny by changing my location. And you can also change your reality just by simply changing your name. A lot of us go through that spiritual rebirth, and that happens. All right? So let's roll through the zodiac signs on the seventh house cusp. Let's start with Aries. Aries here, me and you, Libra rising. You are a complete oxymoron. You people have what I call relationship karma. Why? Because the whole chart is inverted. It's upside down and inside out. However, the positive side of this is the zodiac constellations on the house cusp are actually the polar opposite, therefore giving you the perfect blend of male-female or polar opposites attract type of energy. However, what makes it strenuous is this. If Libra's on the rising, the first concern is relationships. But in relationships, you have Aries there, the polar opposite of Libra, who says, I'm a bit selfish, self-centered, and I like to do things first, and I'm a little irrational, right? So it has to, you know, you gotta figure out how to balance the energy out here. Aries on the seventh house cusp, women are attracted, or even the men aspect, you're attracted to a warrior, fighter type of energy because it's ruled by Mars, all right? Aries, Gemini, Sag, and Aquarius, true energies. I ain't talking about, I'm talking about the true energy. What do you mean by true energy? Well, I'm saying that energy in this great expression. Just because you a Gemini don't really mean you a Gemini. You can have four planets in Libra, and that means you act more like a Libra. So Gemini is kind of like, Gemini could be kind of need a little bit of room for freedom in relationship. But all that Libra energy that you were born with, you in a relationship. So therefore, you exude more of the Libra ray of light. So therefore, I can't say that Geminis are not people that you can lock down in relationships. You see what I'm saying? So this is why we got to be careful how we speak about the zodiac. So when I talk like that, I'm talking about that energy in totality, like that real energy, because the person may have something else going on, all right? So anyway, Aries, Gemini, Aquarius, and Sag are zodiac signs that can go for a little bit more freedom inside of relationships. Go, spend a night in your mom's house. Go, see you in 2 weeks. I live over here, you live over there. Something different, right? It's just something that allows freedom to exist. All right, so Aries here is could be impatient, angry, aggressive type, but it really represents a relationship that is about doing physical things together. That is the key, doing physical things together, riding bikes, exercising, and whatever it is that your goals is centered on, conquering those things and having a lot of dynamic energy to get it done. All right, it's a warrior in relationships. Just need to learn where to center your warriorhood at. Taurus right here is interesting. Relationships about values, relationships about money. So I ain't saying she a gold digger. You get that marking here, and that's okay. Not to glorify gold digging, but I'm just saying, this is about a financial relationship, so finances is very important, and don't even play yourself. Seek someone with financial IQ, all right? And also, it represents values, and values could just simply mean old-fashioned moral values type of thing, or people who are into things that have a monetary value but not may not necessarily have money itself, but they have a sense of value, all right? Gemini here, communication is a must in relationships. Absolutely, positively, talk to your mate. Communication is essential, as they say, in relationships. This is more so important for you. Short trips, even learning some things, doing a little bit of traveling is good in relationships, all right? So this is a powerhouse right here. Moving on to Cancer in a relationship, you have just got in the relationship. This is the house that traditionally they call it marriage, the contract right here, right? So you just married your mama or your daddy or a person who is nurturing to you that feels like a parent, or don't be surprised if you feel that way. So you may be like, hey, I feel like I got to be his mama. I ain't his mama. I'm going to be his woman. You know, hey, you may have Cancer right here that suggests that you act like a parent in a relationship, or you're seeking someone to act like your parent in a relationship. So that person may be like, I ain't your daddy. Stop acting. You need to go work that out with your dad. You know what I mean? So, hey, it's a parental thing right here. The best of this energy here is very loving and nurturing. So nurture your mate here, but understand, too, that you two are to be great parents in a relationship. So if you're going to have children with this person on the Cancer frequency on the seventh house cusp, look at that person's parental qualities in your evaluation of relationships. All right. Moving on to Leo over here. Very fun, romantic. This is probably an exaltation on this particular house right here, because it wants the romance and the children and the fun and loving type of thing. Relationships are very fun and outgoing here. The relationship, though, could be more centered too much on, I ain't gonna say too much, it can just be centered on the love dynamic of the quality time and the romance aspect. So it's very important for those of you that had that there, you Aquarius risings, to implement that aspect of relationships. All right, very love, fun, and even, you know, it's, again, this is a family dynamic too, because it's a sign that represents children. So you want to consider, like with Cancer, you want to consider the children component to it. With Cancer, it's more like understanding the parent, you know, if they got good parental qualities. But even here, you want to analyze and say, is this children material person right here? If you got Leo on the seventh house cusp and you don't want to have a child, but you want a child, but you don't want to have children with this person, and if you don't want to have children with anybody, you know, I ain't gonna say you're wasting your time, but you're wasting your time. All right, moving on to Virgo on the seventh house, man, you got a critical partner who pays attention to a little single thing you do, and or you know that's how you are in relationships. So make sure that you're not being overcritical, too analytical about every little detail about things. This is a potential nag right here. And I say that with Gemini, too, because Gemini talk too much, right? So that's potential nagging potentials right here. But communication is essential, and potentially even working together. Some type of work that y'all do, if y'all don't physically do day-to-day work with one another, like a job type of thing, have your own business or work at the same job, it's very vitally important that you two share inside of giving into some type of charitable, some type of charity together. And that is the highest aspect of this right here. And it symbolizes a very healthy relationship as well. So healthy meaning both people need to analyze their physical health in relationships so that relationship overall can be healthy, okay? Because this one here, if you got ill things in Virgo, the malefic planets right here, this could suggest that your mate will die of a health issue. Duh, right? So you want to make sure that health is on point here. Moving on to Libra. This is a natural wheel right here. So Libra traditionally rules this area space that we're talking about. Relationships. You just got it going on for partnerships and relationships. So congratulations to you, because you were born where everything fits naturally. The houses traditionally should run on to the zodiac signs that normally belong in. So this is a great wheel to have, all right? So I would just say, hey, kudos to you in relationships, whether business and or personal, are favorable for you with this right here. You are just a relationship oriented person. All right. Moving on to Scorpio right here, relationships are about to take on a new turn. I like Libra. Libra is about, hey, this is the contractual agreement. Scorpio comes on and say, babe, let's have sex now, and let's share our money. Let's put it all in the bank account with one another, and let's even start planning our life insurance policy when we die. But let's live life to that extreme. This is real. This ain't no little fun, you know, hanky panky relationship. This is business. We got insurance policies together. To death do us part. That's Scorpio death, right? To death do us part right here. So that Scorpio here also represents a very metaphysical, deep philosophical, investigative type of relationship. If you got Scorpio right here, you won't get nothing past your partner. Even if you Gemini, Virgo, and Scorpio, you ain't gonna get nothing past on them. These people will know that you know you're not telling it like it's supposed to be. And Scorpio also could represent dark secrets, especially of the sexual nature that is inside of a relationship. It's very hidden, so you have to be mindful of that. And then also someone could, in a relationship, want to exude their power and control over you. It's the negative aspect of the hostile, like I said, plan to win, plan to the end, to death do us apart. Let's share this money, let's get this money, and let's make sure the next generation is taken care of so when we out of here, they good. It's that level of planning. That's real life, that's grown man and grown woman stuff with Scorpio on the 7th, all right? Moving over to Sag over here, man, this is the philosophical relationship. This is the relationship that's about freedom. This is the relationship that likes to travel and go aboard. And whatever spiritual system that is conducive for the relationship, and it can be more than one, it'd be highly, very therapeutic for the relationship to actually travel to a foreign place that has that type of spiritual undertone to it to give you the boost that y'all need. You know what I mean? So if you're Muslim, this would be great to travel to Mecca and do Hajj one year. If you study in the Indian system, you know, it'd be great for y'all to go to India together. Even though it's a vacation, you need a spiritual element there because this is a high sign about mental aspirations and which really is goal-orientated, but it's just about the philosophy of life right here and very therapeutic. I love it. All right. Moving on to Capricorn here, this is your grandparent. Either you're going to be, it's the polar opposite of the Cancer effect, you're going to be daddy. In this case, you daddy, but you are a responsible person here. This is traditionally ruled by Saturn. Saturn is about responsibility, hard work, the taskmaster. Usually you would marry somebody older, or you would be much older than the person, or it would just, again, it would have that feel like you're all the responsibility falls on you with Capricorn right here on the 7th house. Because this is big business, though. This is because Capricorn is a sign of career. So in a relationship, you're actually seeking someone who is career-orientating. You see what I'm saying? So that's what you're going for here with Capricorn here. Capricorn, ruled by Saturn, could represent restrictions and limitations. So I want you to be careful of if your mate feel like they can't express themselves. It's something about you with Capricorn on the 7th inside of a relationship that make you appear like a blockage, all right? Even though you're about hard work and don't cut no corners and let's grind, just be mindful that energy can feel like a blockage and a ray of Saturn could dampen any light of the sun. That's why the sun in this position today as we speak in Capricorn, it's the first day of winter. Therefore, you know, Capricorn, Saturn has dominion over the cold ray, and the sun can't even vibrate all that wonderful heat that it loves to kick out in your spring and your summertime because the Saturn domain can dampen the light of the sun, and that's in the whole cosmology of a Satan versus the son of a god. All right? So moving on to Aquarius on the 7th house, because unconventional relationships, best be friends right here first. This is homie, lover, friend, R. Kelly type of relationship. This is actually I'll take my thing out and urinate on it. It's very weird. It's something freaky. It's different. It's weird places. It's go to the park or whatever you may consider weird. It's unorthodox. It's computer love all day long. This person may meet their person of interest on the computer, literally. But it's really about being the high side of it is loving humanity, being a part of groups, organizations that is about some effective social change, being probably in the latest trend of technology as well, having loving, see, look at my red tail hawk, I know I'm truthing, you know, having loving friends around you. Is the important key thing here with Aquarius here. And making sure, too, that you can express your unique individuality. It has dual rulership, Saturn and Uranus. Uranus is a madman, rebel, want to break out of the relationship all of a sudden. It's very unpredictable. One thing about the Aquarius energy, which I am, which I do not really like about myself, is the at times where I can be indecisive. I can't stand that. It drives me crazy, but I got Mercury afflictions, and I'm just not mentally there. Sometimes I'm being indecisive. So the relationship in itself has this tone of indecisiveness, all right, which could drive your mate crazy, all right? So you got to work on a Saturn principle of just understanding what works and go with what works here, all right? So Aquarius on the seventh house cusp, goals, groups, friends, technology, and humanitarian efforts for the relationship is great. Genius, inventing things as well in the relationship, something new, something different, revolutionize something. It used to be like this, but now you came and you designed this for that, and you got this new product. That is Aquarius on the seventh house. Plus, you are married to a mad scientist, all right? Last but not least, the Piscean ray here, one of my favorite placements. This represents the extremes of these two energies inside of Pisces, because remember, we're talking about a fish going upstream and a fish going downstream. They're going in two different directions. Pisces is low-key the twin of Gemini, all right? And they're twins to one another. Trust me when I tell you this. Pisces on the relationship angle represents spiritual unions, unconditional love, where literally there's literally no condition. And I thought about it. I used to hate that. Like, what the heck is unconditional love? There's no such thing as unconditional love. Because to love me and for me to love you, there has to be some form of a condition. You don't want me to do this. I don't want you to do this to me. There's conditions. There's no such thing as unconditional love. But then I found it. I didn't find it as I'm growing into it, I guess, in a relationship. Because I don't know. I really don't know if it exists in relationships, right? I found it in giving. No, because I'm like, with the Christmas thing, I'm like, yo, I don't care what somebody's denomination is. I have no conditions on giving to a person in need, point blank, period. But then if I want to get minute to it, if I didn't have it to give, I wouldn't be able to give. So, therefore, the condition for me to give entails me to have something to give. So, you know, it goes back and forth, and I can do this all day, especially with a ninth house sign. I can philosophize all day. But Pisces on the seventh house cusp here is really talking about a very highly evolved spiritual union. I call this union that pretty couple that is walking and holding hands on the beach as the sun is either setting or rising, particularly when the sun sets, because we're talking about the seventh house cusp here. This is just a very spiritual bliss type of relationship. What's the con? The con here is deception in relationships. You are sleeping with the enemy and you don't even know it, but it will come out in the open. But you don't know it at the time being. You idealize and fantasize about this person that it feels good. It feels like an ecstasy. It feels so good that you don't care that it ain't real. It just feels good for the moment of the now, and that's okay because you may be one of those people to learn how to enjoy the moment of the now. But again, it does really represent deception, and the energy will fade because Neptune rules Pisces, has this energy of fog, and the fog dissipates, and it ain't what you thought it was. And also with this marker here, you want to save the person, or you attract people who want to save you. Pisces is very interesting. My favorite zodiac sign to study because it goes to the, its extremes is the most craziest. It's clairvoyant and spiritual and dreamy and gets all this information from the divine word of God before the events happen in our physical life. Then it goes to drugs, alcohol, being in some locked up in some form of confinement, prison, or either the insane asylum, right? It's like, wait a minute, how do you go from being extremely clairvoyant to not having to use any divination tools to know what's going to happen in somebody's life to being a drug addict? So, yep, you got Pisces right here on the seventh house cusp. You could be married to a drug dealer, someone who is in, you know, has some type of, you know, has some type of energy in that department. All right, so that fast, we concluded lesson 7. Which one are you? If you want to know, here's the key. You must have your birth chart in front of you and know what is right there, and we can talk about it. I'm not doing no reading. I'll give a quick interpretation, so I guess it's like a read. When I say that, about no reading, I am not about to put in the data and pull it up. You must know that already. So have a question about your DC or any question, a point that you may want to build on. But ask your question. After you ask your question, I'm going to mute your line. I'm going to give you the answer, but I want to keep it moving. All right, because I'm not going to be long today. So I'll go to the first caller. Caller from the 424207. What's your name? What's your question?
Hi, yes, my name is Iris, and I was calling in to check on the vibration between my partner and I. It's it's been a little challenging, so I wanted to see what's upcoming for 2014.
Oh, okay, that's it's too much for me to do on this show. That's a perfect question for Friday. But even then,
okay,
it's kind of tough because we would have to put two people's data in. However, call in on Friday at 11:45 sharp, and we'll be able to answer because the cards don't necessarily, Keisha with the cards don't need what I need. But I can help you out here. Real simple, the technique
okay
that I use. What is the day of birth for you, just the day?
The day for me is the 13th.
Okay, so you come out to a 4. Now, what's his day?
The 1st.
The 1st? All right, so this is a, together, this is a Mercury energy. So one thing that helps the relationship is communication and communicating to one another on Wednesday. Every relationship produces an angelic imprint. This is a spiritual child. This is no difference than when you come together with your mate and you create a physical child. The relationship in itself is an entity. It has a birthday called an anniversary that we celebrate, right? That really takes place at the first time of mating. And then again, if you do a ceremony or a wedding, then you have another birthday. And then sometimes these two birthdays can conflict with one another, which is a whole other story. But every relationship produces an entity. The entity is a relationship. When you come home, you know you're coming home to your man, and vice versa. He comes home to his woman, he got to act a certain way, and he got to pay some, you got to pay each other some attention. So it's an entity. The entity can be defined by understanding the numeric vibrations. So what I want you to do is, because this is just shorthand for right now, but it's very powerful, I want y'all to set aside, the relationship needs communication because it's ruled by Mercury, but the day that rules the relationship is Wednesday. So be extremely mindful on Wednesdays and conscientious to say, hey, you know what, Wednesdays is today, the days that we do XYZ. The kids is gone and the babysitter, and we go out for dinner every Wednesday night and have communication at the dinner table with each other. My point is, make an emphasis to tap into the planetary theme that helps you here. You need an archangel to help you on Wednesdays, then we can actually call upon Michael to help facilitate
okay
the communications here.
Okay.
Okay.
Great.
But yeah, if you need
thank
a full,
you so
if you need a full, yeah, very well. If you need a full reading, the best I can really say is call in on Friday's show and see if we can go a little bit further. And then if we really need, if it's really volatile like that, because there's some volatile energy in the sky right now, then we probably would need a consultation where I actually can help you negate. We both can help you negate these this negative influence that's out there, and ultimately save the relationship. But I don't like divorce, and I don't like. Are you married?
No, we're just partners.
Okay.
Yeah, we're
okay
not married.
Yeah. Okay.
And but you know, breakups is not necessarily good. I don't like them. All right, but yeah, call in Friday and we can go forward. But work with that for right now. But you've got to be aware. That's the key. And just make Wednesdays the day that is your special day. Every day is about communication. Every single day. I can't stress that enough with five ruling that. And five to a degree too represents freedom. I mean, because Mercury is the quick traveler, so it's volatile by itself. That energy, we call it neutral. It's not good or bad, but it can sway. If the mood is funky, it's going to sway all the way funky. If the mood is good, it's going to sway. So it's a neutral energy. So you got to be careful with that because it tends to jump on both sides. We're going to have our good days. We're going to have our bad days. All right? So communication is essential every single day. But I want you to work on Wednesdays and do a prayer. Do a prayer to St. Michael, and the prayer comes from your heart. It be whatever it is you want it to be because only you internally know what you're feeling, what you want to experience, and you need to have the heart-to-heart conversation. But I'm telling you in this relationship who to direct it to. Direct it towards Michael on Wednesdays. Every single day, but Wednesdays is just your power day. All right?
Okay, yeah, and also too, you said moon. My seventh house is ruled by the moon. Does
so that make Cancer any sense? Is on the seventh house?
Yes.
You sure? Or is the moon in the seventh house?
Actually, no, it's the moon that's the seventh house. Virgo, actually. Hold on. Actually, Aquarius.
So you got Aquarius on the seventh house, though.
Uh-huh.
You got the moon in the seventh house?
Yes.
What zodiac sign is your moon in?
What time was I born?
No, what sign is the moon in when you were born?
What sign? It's, let's see, Aquarius.
Okay, that makes sense. I just wanted to make sure you had it right, because if you would have said Aries, I'm like, wait a minute, how is the moon in Aries when you just said Aquarius is in your seventh house? Right, so the Aquarian moon factor, congratulations. I was born with the Aquarian moon, too. So, again, unorthodox type of relationships, freedom to a degree is necessary, being able to express your weird talents and whatnot. But most important, your partner must be your friend. That's the key here. And then, again, if you have any see, Aquarius moon could almost be a detriment because it's said to not have the normal feelings it thinks. It's like, what are you talking about? It don't make sense. Like, it's not about feeling. It's about intellectualizing the facts of what's taking place here. Intellectualize the emotions versus feeling the emotions. So you may come off a little cold or emotionally detached. But however, it may not be the case because I'm not seeing the whole thing. The goal here is to make sure that you're in tune with your feelings, but your partner is your friend. Friendship is very key here, and then also an element of something that is different, a little unorthodox. So it may require that, you know, you sleep downstairs and he sleeps upstairs. You know, you got the queen chamber and the king chamber. It's something that's different and weird. It's not a normal traditional relationship. And the moment that you get traditional and try to square it off, Uranus will act up like, no, I don't want this. I need a little bit of air. And you may not even realize that. So you may have to interject something that's a little different that allow that air, which is really communication, that air to exist inside of the relationship. The air is communication in space, all right? So allow that to exist inside of the relationship.
That's funny. I am upstairs and he's downstairs.
Yeah, I know. See, it's something weird. It ain't weird. It's cool. It's cool. Trust me, it's cool. See, that's what it is. But don't even be mad at that. If you upstairs and he down, don't even be mad at that. That's your cosmic contract. That's why I said that. It's like that with Aquarius on the seventh house cusp. You know what I'm saying? So what y'all do is y'all meet in the middle on Wednesdays. And sometime on Wednesday he can come into your domain, and sometime on Wednesdays you can go into his domain. Let that be known. Let that presence be there. But that's the setup of that of what y'all have, and that's why y'all do that. So don't be mad at that.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much.
All right.
And Pooh, I really appreciate your time.
Yeah, you're
very welcome.
I'll talk
to you Friday.
All right,
please. Thank you.
All right, 720-275. We out in Denver.
Yeah, see some posts, children.
What's good? What's happening to children?
Oh, no, just enjoying the show this morning.
Oh, man, I'm just warming it up for when you come through, man. I heard you was coming through. You about to do a radio show right here. Tell the people what you about to do.
Starting January 11th, Conversation of Virtue is the name of the show. And it's basically going to be open topic on relationships. Children will be doing some readings, probably be getting to some politics, and basically just trying to get different point of views to try to come up with a solution as a community on try to correct some of the problems that we have within our household, basically. Just try to come up with a solution. Try to heal some people with some of the things that they are going through, basically. Open topic.
Okay, that's what it is. 111.
Yes.
Mark the calendar.
111.
111.
I'm excited. I've been trying to prepare some things for it, but I'm excited about it. I really am. So just look forward to it.
That's what it is. That's what it is. What did you want to build on real fast?
Oh, me, seventh house, which is relationships. My seventh house, I'm on the cusp of Aquarius and Pisces.
Jesus Christ. Aquarius and Pisces. So Aquarius rules it. What degree?
Eleven.
All right, so is Aquarius 11 degrees? Your DC, your seventh house is 11 degrees?
Yes, it is.
11
yes.
degrees Aquarius? All right, so
yes.
Some of Pisces just fall into your seventh. So all day long, Aquarius is the ruler. So it's the same thing that we just talked about, and I just talked about with the previous person. But, you know, with Pisces in the seventh too, and Aquarius, this is really talking about spiritual sciences. But the thing here is, see, sometimes Aquarius can get so, because it's a fixed sign, it's fixated upon its ideas and concepts to improve humanity so much so that the common definition of the Aquarian is they'll help everybody else before they help themselves, and they help the person that they're in a relationship with. And they're helping everybody else. You see what I'm saying? So the downfall to that could be, you can't try not to do it at the expense of jeopardizing the relationship. So that's why the relationship has to understand, you got to understand what you're working with, and then that person needs to see you working within that light and understand that that's your mission, and then they fall into that fold. Not that they're doing what you do like that, you know, so you can do what you want to do. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that. That they understand you and there's some compatibility there, because it's something about them that the Aquarian ray is just compatible with them to give and help, or something, the woman be a part of the humanitarian effort here. And then Pisces just straight go into spiritual divination and unconditional love and, you know, all of the good stuff and whatnot. So it's a bit of a rebel and a bit of a challenge here, because Aquarius is a very, even though it's fixed, the Uranus nature of Aquarius is unstable, but it's only unstable when things are just old and outdated in a relationship. Things, it will suddenly have to just break free type of thing and whatnot. So, you know, being involved with technology, radio, internet, dating, open conversations about, like, all that stuff falls into the fold right there. You know what I mean? But you're really looking for a partner in the humanitarian effort is what you're really striving for.
That make a whole lot of sense to me. Basically, they got to be on the same level when it comes to spiritual science, and be willing to endure my studies. And if they can't, then
right.
It ain't gonna work.
With that marker, right? With that marker is you will meet your partner within a group of friends or some type of spiritual gathering, or this person, you saw this person in a group of some sort that was about some type of humanitarian effort type of thing, you know? So if I can figure out how to create, I ain't going to give up all my ideas like that, man, but, you know, you keep on coming to these trips. You know, I would say you would meet a man, but it'd be so many women there. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I mean?
But I don't know. I got to encourage the brothers to come out, man, and participate or something. But, yeah, that's what it represents, though.
That makes a whole lot of sense to me.
Yeah.
It really does. I truly understand
yeah.
that. Because if they ain't on the level, then I can't vibe. I can't vibe.
Right.
It does something to me, you know, and I'm not going to lower my vibration for you when, you know, I'm trying to be on a certain level. Either
right.
you're going to try to strive to reach
yeah,
it
you,
or I don't know.
Yeah, you just got to go to the event, the gathering. Whatever it is that had your interest, that's where he is. He's already there. He's participating in that of some sort. That's where he is.
Okay. Well, I will keep that in mind.
Yeah.
I will keep
right.
that in mind. Yes.
That's what it is, man. All right, so I'll get with you.
Okay, thanks. Have a blessed
cool.
day.
Yep, yeah. And everybody, that's, again, that's what we call the big homie right there, man. Tune in on 111, which is a portal day in itself, man. So tune in at 111, man. That's going to be some great open conversation. And don't be scared to call in and just give it up. Just say what it is. 609-815. What's your name?
I'll just say what I have to say to you.
609, you there? Jersey, once, twice, I'll come back to you. All right, man. Caller from the 111. I don't know if you're on Skype, but 111111. It's two of y'all, so I don't know which one this one is. Just say something. 111, you there? You're calling from Skype. Say something. All right. I'll try to come back to you. And remember, it's two of y'all, so it might not have been you. 650-384, what's happening?
Hey, peace.
Hey, what's going on?
Nothing much. I'm coming with my information.
Go ahead. I'm trying to put this voice together, but I know who it is. Go ahead.
This is Ebony.
Go ahead. What
I have Gemini in the 7th.
Gemini in the 7th. How do you interpret that?
I interpret it as being not promiscuous, but like being able to be married and still having relations on the side.
Oh, snap. I said Gemini need a little bit of freedom over there. Okay.
Yeah. All
right.
And my guy, like, he's right here. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's cool with it and everything, but, you know, like, we have an open relationship and we're supposed to be getting married in July. So I just wanted to, I don't know, just get a male perspective on me wanting to have, like, a rich boyfriend on the side and still, you know, have my hubby.
Hey, man. You know, hey, I can't say what that is. You know, I mean, the best thing is y'all got an understanding. Y'all got an agreement that, hey, you my man, but I got a boyfriend, and when we get married, I'm going to continue to have a man or something. You know, I just initially know that, you know, when I started the show, I said, hey, Gemini on the 7th house cusp needs a little bit of freedom there. They need something, you know. So he's an understanding and that he supports that, man. That, you know, that I have to cosmically salute it. I can't, you know, the best thing I can say as far as the marriage goes just pick a day that is very conducive to the both of you. And if you can, make sure that the moon is in a stage of growth, if you can. But guess what? You know, I got married when the moon wasn't in the proper phase, although it was in the right zodiac sign, and even my wife had a moon return, so that was more power as well. But, you know, it's been, you know, 11 years in the making, you know what I mean? And the day didn't look all that promising when you just analyze the day. There's a lot of stuff going on. You know, so I would just say try your best to be conscientious of the day because you are aware of your own psychology as far as Gemini on the 7th and, you know, the relationships and how you like to engage in relationships. But I think it's all good. I mean, hey, man, the brother there right there, he with it. It's all good. That's what it is.
Yeah, the date was actually set for July 23rd, and it was going to be like Rastafarian. And, I don't know, basically we just just rocking with it. We still got a little bit of issues, but.
July 23rd. What's that? That's a Wednesday, right?
I think so.
Yeah, that's a Wednesday. You know, y'all crazy. Who gets married on a Wednesday?
I'm just asking. I just want to know who gets married on a Wednesday. But then
the moon
my
is in Gemini
is
that day. The solar return
solar
is when? The 24th? Okay. So I can understand that because now you're about to go into a new conscious cycle, and the 23rd is the very last day of a particular conscious cycle for you. And if you choose to sum it up with marriage on a and that's okay. This is what I'm saying. We got to see the divinity of it. So the moon is not in a favorable position in the sky. It's waning. And it's in Gemini. A Gemini moon for us in the priesthood is a little volatile. It's a no-no moon. However, Gemini is symbolized in tarot as the lovers. And it's the day before your birthday, which means that the moon, not necessarily, I get it because you're about to end a particular cycle, which you're about to do. You're about to end the cycle, so therefore, you know, you can sum it up with that. That's cool. But if you want to look into some alternatives, because you wanna put more, you know, not saying that this is not it, because I don't see that day in totality, and I don't have your birth data. Just let me know. But, you know, being aware is the first step. And the mere fact that the moon is in Gemini and it symbolically represents the lovers, this represents two lovers coming together. So, you can, yeah, go for it. That's what y'all want to do. And who cares that everybody else get married on Saturdays and Sundays? You get married on a Wednesday.
Exactly.
You know, just know that y'all unconventional and it's a little strange and awkward. And, the law don't necessarily support growth. Which simply means you have to work harder at keeping it together. You see what I'm saying? So when things are not favorable for us and we do it anyway, the repercussion is only saying, okay, the test that you're going to have on this journey is going to be a little bit more rigorous. That's the cause and effect law. So both of y'all have to just sit down and say, hey, we're doing everything a little bit unorthodox. The relationship to a degree is unorthodox. You got a man, he may have another woman, you get married on a Wednesday, which is weird, and the moon is not in the favorable stage, which could be weird. You know, are we both going to agree that when hardships come, we are going to promise each other to endure these battles? Because the law says the battles that will come will be very challenging. And if y'all can agree on that, you know, then go for it.
Okay, is that just because of the moon in a certain place or because of the whole relationship the way it is?
Both. Everything in totality, the relationship by normal standards is considered different, and then the moon is not in a favorable position of growth.
Okay. All right, I'm going to go deeper into that on a later date. All right. Appreciate that, Uncle.
Cool, you got it. All right. All right, let's go to the other 111. 111, 111, you there? Nope. Both 111s, y'all bugging. All right, 857-334, what's happening?
Peace, Amber. This is Peter.
Hey, peace.
Mine is ruled in the seventh house of Capricorn. But my husband and I both have Capricorn in the seventh house.
Oh, okay. So that's interesting. What degree Capricorn is both of y'all? Do you know?
I don't have it off the top of my head, but I don't know.
Okay. Well, that's cool. But so both of y'all are speaking the same thing in relationships. What a coincidence that y'all will find each other in this lifetime. Y'all married, right? You said husband?
Yeah.
Right. So what a coincidence. If both of y'all have Capricorn on the seventh house, what were the odds of y'all finding each other, and then seeing each other, and then being attracted to each other, and then being in a relationship and say, you know what, I like it so much, let's get married. Hey, girl, yeah, let's get married. We get married. And then y'all had the same, because y'all got the same expression. You see what I'm saying? So
So that is the reason I wanted to know the degree, because if y'all working with the same degrees or very close to the same degree, it just talks about the tighter the degrees between two people when you you want to find things that's like similar, the same, right? Ooh, wow, you got 3 degrees Capricorn right here, right? Because I got Capricorn
okay.
in the house, too. You know what I'm saying?
His is 7 and mine is 13.
Uh-huh. Okay, so 7 and 13, so 6 degrees tops, probably 5 and some change, but 6 degrees tops. This is very close. These angles change degrees every 4 minutes. So 4 times 6 is 24. Y'all only 24 minutes apart from representing the exact same expression within that zodiac sign. Y'all the same zodiac sign right there, but to be exact, y'all only 24 minutes away from experiencing that exact expression. So close of 24 minutes that if I put y'all anywhere close to each other, survey says y'all be attracted to each other. You see what I'm saying? So this is great. It represents, again, Capricorn here represents responsible partnerships, all right? And it should have some type of career goal orientation to it. You know what I mean? That both of y'all are striving for. Success in relationships is the material success too, because it's Capricorn, it's the last earth sign, so material success. So it's a very grown, responsible relationship. I like it here. It just, again, ruled by Saturn. Both of y'all just got to make sure not to limit one another, but y'all expression is the same, so y'all probably y'all got it going on. And guess what? Since this is the last earth sign, no other sign in the zodiac can supersede the longevity of Capricorn. Nothing. No other sign, period. Because it's the last earth sign. So in this material world called earth that we live in, this is the zodiac sign that represents the mountaintop. So y'all union represents this great mountain of success. And that's how y'all got to see it. And y'all should actually do things on a mountain, a physical mountain together in recognition of this great earth sign being the rulership over y'all relationship. And another thing that takes place is this, because sometimes we've got to compromise, right? And the compromise is this, man plus woman equals child. But in this particular case, when we do something called composite, when the energies meet in the middle, we don't have to change nothing. Meaning this, okay, if you are Sagittarius and this person, another person is Gemini, if y'all meet in the middle, y'all would meet at Virgo or y'all would meet at Pisces, right? Depends which way we travel. So let's just say you meet in Virgo. Well, in the relationship department, both of y'all will meet in Capricorn. So there's not a lot of compromise here to be done, because the time of y'all birth is identical to basically the same constellations. This constellation was on the east right here. This one was in the south. This one was in the west when I was born. And then your mate say, oh, look, check me out. Me too. It's only a difference of 7 degrees right here. You see what I'm saying? So when we say, okay, well, let's both of y'all meet in the middle. Y'all don't have a lot of space. Y'all don't have to go 90 degrees away to meet in the middle like a lot of people do. Some people got to go 80 degrees. So y'all only got to go, what, in this particular case, 6 degrees away from each other, right? That's it.
Mm.
You see what I'm saying? So it ain't a lot of compromise. Y'all express the energy the same. So, you know, again, it's grown people stuff. It's success. Y'all got career goals lined up. Work on those things and celebrate those things by doing something of the earth element inside y'all relationship. Especially on Saturdays. Saturday is a day, could be a day on a relationship that you can just, both of y'all can travel up to the mountains for a weekend and do what y'all do.
Perfect. Thank you.
Cool. All right, got it. All right, where we at here? 631, Philly, I'm coming to you next. I know that number. 631-357, what's happening?
Hey, I'm Fu. This is Brooklyn's
hey.
Mecca.
What up?
Hey,
okay, Mecca.
All right. I have Mars in the 7th house.
Oh, Lord. Why? Mars in the 7th. right, but who's the Lord? What zodiac sign is that?
It's between Gemini and Taurus.
Then Taurus actually rules that, right?
Yeah.
What degree Taurus? If you 26 and higher, you're in trouble.
The constellation is in Taurus and Gemini, but
right.
Mars is 21 degrees.
But what degree does your DC fall in Taurus?
What's
your rising sign? What degree is your rising sign?
22 Scorpio.
All right. So then you 22 Taurus on that side. So you 4 degrees away from and I'm gonna get into this in the Jewish Ransom of Black Power. You're 4 degrees away from the entry point of some of the most malefic energy in space, period. All right? And it's a pro and a con to everything. And then you got the most malefic planet in that region, too, which is Mars. So the relationships for you, since it's Taurus, it should be about a person that is about values and has a high financial IQ. That's what you're really seeking. And with Mars there, you kind of really, you're looking for a bad boy with money. Mars is the bad guy. He's the one that carry the pistols. And Taurus is with the money. So then maybe somewhere in your psyche, you like the dope man with the gun. You know what I'm saying? So it's the good girl, bad boy thing definitely that takes place. But you got to understand that as you, the bad boy energy can turn and be bad for you and be bad on you, literally. You see what I'm saying? Because this is malefic space and a malefic planet. You see what I'm saying? So the high side, again, is making sure that you have the relationships that you have on a male that you're interested in, same thing, has an intense drive of values. And values to you can be whatever you deem to be valuable, or when you look at that person's life and he collects this, or he honors and respects XYZ, they have a value. If the person is more of the reckless type of nature, because Mars is reckless and out of control head first, if it's more of the reckless type of nature, then you're dealing with the negative aspect of your own self, because this is your chart. So it's a negative aspect of your own self that you're dealing with here. You see what I'm saying? The high side is making sure that you have an intense drive for value, and he should be a real money getter, you know what I mean, with Mars. Even though Mars and Taurus is considered to be in detriment, it's out of pocket because it's supposed to be in Scorpio. So that means, too, that, you know, Mars in opposition to your ascendant, that means he's in opposition to your head. You know, you'll get a headache when Mars in the sky is squaring your ascendant, or it's on your ascendant, or making any type of harsh angle to your ascendant. You will get a physical headache in this reality. You know what I mean? Because we are, our body is responding to spatial imprint of sunlight rays reflecting off of planets when we come into this reality. Therefore, Pisces rules your feet, and Aries rules your head, and everything in between is everything in between, darn it. You know what I'm saying? And we responded to this stuff. So this is tough. This is very tough for you, because that planet is out of pocket. He's a bad guy. Look, man, I know some stuff that just popped off somewhere that is so vicious that I almost thought about, like, man, maybe we should get a laser and we should blow Mars up. Mars is vicious. I'm telling you, this dude is vicious. Man, it's serious. He at the U.S. Capitol building at the entrance for a reason. This dude is the god of warfare for a reason. United States government go to war on Tuesday for a reason. All right? So, man, you gotta watch that. The way you offshoot it is, You gotta understand the vibratory way that you own, man. On a more personal level, because this is a couple ways we can do this, man. On a more personal level, you need to, you need, I can't turn people on to Mars energy solely by itself because I know how that energy manifests itself. The Mars prayer that I put out, that's for you. That will help you in the area of relationships. And then you got to understand what the relationship vibration is as well to go into that in a factor. See, all of this stuff is wheels inside of wheels, right? So, you know, for example, you in a relationship right now?
Yeah.
All right, so when's his day of birth?
June 12th.
All right, so he's 3. What's your day of birth?
July 26th.
All right, so you 8, right? So 3 and 8 is 11, is 2. So you him being 3, he on Jupiter, which is should be of a teaching aspect. You are 8, which is malefic, which is Saturn. In itself, and then together it's a 2, which is the moon, and the moon is considered neutral. She fluctuates. She goes either way you want to push her. So it's ruled by the moon, so it's a fluctuating relationship at best, right, because of this moon energy. So on one aspect, the moon controls it, but when I get into the inner dynamics and say, let me go a little bit more into the wheel, I got the Lord. I know who's ruling over this union. But when I go individually into you, I say, oh, Lord, she got Mars in the malefic area, space in the seventh house. So now you need to work with this aspect too, you know what I mean, to negate that. So that's Mars and Taurus, man. You got to have both of y'all got to have values. The same values need to be the same and then have an intense drive to conquer it because Mars will conquer. You can get anything you want to in a favorable Mars position. In fact, you can get it in the opposition because I've seen Floyd Mayweather hammer somebody with Mars opposite Mars, and I was like, ooh, he may lose this one, and he won. And I said, oh, wow, he superseded that. He tapped into a whole other realm, and he a Pisces too. He tapped into a whole other realm of understanding where he's not necessarily negatively influenced by the negative rays of the heavens and whatnot. So he turned that negative into a positive. And it can be done, but it's work to do it. So I hope that helps you.
Yeah, I just wanted to state that on his chart, he has the moon in the 12th house. I mean, not 12th house, sorry, 12 degrees, and Mars, 29 degrees, and Saturn in 25 degrees.
Where is all that at? In one constellation?
Leo and Virgo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I gotta see the wheel. I will have to see the wheel to look at all of that, you know what I mean? But you know, one thing I need to understand for the sake of the relationship is I need to understand Monday. Monday is the day that y'all need to really communicate and y'all need to be in tune with each other's feelings and respectful of each other's feelings. That's very important. When somebody express how they feel, you got to learn to try to get in the space not to be mad about how they feel it. Because obviously they're saying they feel this way because you made them feel that way, and you got to try to hear the person and feel what they're feeling. So you got to be in tune and respectful to each other's feelings, and Monday is an excellent day to communicate on a weekly basis. Y'all too, y'all set y'all thing up on, you know, whatever y'all going to do, y'all set it up on Mondays for the relationship. But on a personal level, when you get the time and can, just go for the Mars prayer thing because it's something that you need to eradicate within self to obviously change. Our personal aura changes the relationship aura. All right, but work with Mondays. All right, so I'll get with you. Keep me posted. All right.
Peace.
Uh-huh. All right, 267-226, what's happening?
Peace, Brother Hampu. This is Tawana.
Tawana, what's good?
What's good? First of all, I want to say big ups to Sister Cassildra, 111, Conversations of Virtue. Looking forward to that, Sister.
Yeah,
that's
Conversations
great.
Of Virtue.
Yeah, that's great. But you know where I'm at. I'm Libra all the way.
Yeah, Libra scales. Yeah.
Yeah.
But Where's your seventh house cuss at, though?
It's Virgo.
Do you know? You sure?
Wait a minute. You talking about where the DC line is, right?
Yeah, where the DC line at?
The DC line is at is between Virgo and Libra.
Okay, you may be right. I don't know. Let me see. I got to see on the system, though. I don't think that's true. I think you're Libra.
I am Libra, but...
I think you're
Libra
on the DC.
I have five planets in Libra. You know that.
Yeah, but what do the DC say, though?
DC looks like it says...
And give me the degree.
It says 25
Virgo?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Well,
all right.
Okay. That's what it look like.
All right, so go to the AC. What do the AC say?
AC is in Pisces, but...
Okay.
Yeah, my AC is in Pisces. That also look like 25.
Yeah. All right.
Cool.
No. You got it right. Yeah, that's cool. I wanted to make sure you got it right, so I polarized you to go to the opposite side. So, all right, so Virgo. Virgo is the traditional ruler of the relationship. Traditional. How do you perceive yourself with that? What's going on? You tell me what that is.
Uh-oh. Don't be putting me... Well, I know with Virgo. That is, well, I'm communicative. I know communication is a key.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Communication is the key. Again, just making sure you're not being over analytical in a relationship, and vice versa, but paying attention to details in a relationship. And ultimately, again, with the Virgo thing is, I think for relationships, it's great that y'all be a part of some type of charitable organization together, and possibly y'all have some type of work y'all do together. But if y'all don't do physical work together, then y'all should have a healthy regimen together, working out together or something. That's very therapeutic for Virgo on the seventh house cusp. That's the best way to tap into that energy. Charity and health if you're not physically doing a day-to-day job with one another. You were born on the seventh, so the seventh is Neptune, which is highly spiritually inclined. That's you as a person, intuition and things of that matter. And Neptune is said to be the positive pole of the moon. The moon and Neptune are very close to one another in vibrations. So just as a person, Mondays is a powerful day for you to center yourself. But inside of a relationship, I wouldn't know unless I had, his number. But as a person, as Tawana, the moon and Monday is full moons, new moons, but Monday is a day, that's your personal power day that you connect to spirit.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Thank
got it?
You.
All right,
yes.
You got it. All right, cool.
Peace.
All right, man, one man on time. 102, 312, 888. 312.
Hey, hello.
Yo, wait, what's happening? Yeah,
hey, what's going on, Pooh to Justin?
What up, Just Blaze?
I just want to know if you can just I caught like the end of when you were talking about Pisces in the seventh house. My wife has Pisces in the seventh house,
uh-huh.
And I have Leo in the seventh house. So I just kind of want to know if you can kind of tell me what the dynamic is. All right,
so this is the thing. The Leo person could be more of the loving, the children, the romance in the relationship. Leo and Pisces typically don't get along, but this is the thing. I see a common denominator here. Pisces is about the unconventional love aspect, and it's a highly emotional sign. And so that expression comes through inside of a relationship. But see, Leo wants to be clingy. It's a clingy energy because it's about the romantic aspect. So that with the Pisces frequency of the unconditional love aspect being there, it could be somewhat favorable. But the science is, well, that's just the individual aspect. Those energies will meet in the middle somewhere traditionally. So that's a 150. They're about 150 degrees away. Like, they don't have nothing in common in relationship expression. But obviously, it's just when we got to look at the chart in totality. Y'all got married, so obviously it just it's other stuff that's going on that suggests compatibility and attraction. Clearly, you know what I'm saying. But for her with Pisces there, man, you know, I think ultimately what she's going for is a mate that has spiritual understanding and that has a Jesus Christ type of love, man. That's there, and she's willing to sacrifice herself for her partner. And overdoors, her partner's willing to sacrifice himself for her. And, you know, I explained to Leo earlier. The sinistry comes in when understanding, again, the day. So what day? What's your day of birth?
3/31.
So, all right, so you're 4. You crazy Uranus. What's her day of birth?
November 11th.
All right, so she's the moon, so 6. So see what I'm saying? Y'all produce Venus, so this is good. Fridays is a day for the relationship for y'all. Friday is a feel-good day, and the greatest day out is the day that governs our relationships and our 7 days of the week, and y'all happen to fall on that day. So even though y'all have, let's just say, 2 incompatible signs on the seventh house because of how y'all express individually what you're looking for in relationships, when y'all come together, y'all produce the best energy there is. And that's what I like about the true opposites attracting. We're looking at the 150. You know what I'm saying? One is masculine, fire, and fix, and the other one is mutable, water, and feminine. One is male, one is female. You know what I mean? So, you know, these two are supposed to come together in this reality. So y'all produce a happy Friday type of relationship, man. That's what it is.
Okay.
Friday is y'all day. Light a green candle. And Friday is a universal day for relationships, point blank, period. So Friday, you know, Friday is the grand ceremony day for the union all across the board. I encourage everybody to do something on Friday, no matter what your personal day is in the relationship. Just be cognizant of your personal day, but also do something in the universal law of Friday, especially now. Because when the sun sets, you can see Venus. So this is like Friday night, you can go out and say, hey, babe, make a wish to a star. Like, that's real stuff. That little stuff, man, the science, that stuff is real. You know, like, and that's that star right there. And y'all throw y'all wishes to that star right after sunset, right when you see that bright star on the western horizon and know that that planet is receiving the love that governs over y'all union. That's how we tap into that force.
Okay. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Cool. You got it, man. That's what's up. All right, man. We got a few more. I'm almost there. All right, 347-685. We in NY. What's happening?
Peace, Alpha.
Yo, peace.
That's right.
Sweet. Man, we in Philly. What up?
I got DC. My DC is Scorpio.
Oh, Lord. Scorpio on the DC. How do you interpret your expression of that?
I don't really know, because Scorpio is like kind of mysterious to me. There's metaphysical things going on with it, but as far as the physical, I really can't give an in-depth definition as to that.
As far as what? Did you say the physical?
Yeah, I'm kind of like, you know, I'm probably like, I have a general definition of it, but not more so like a how it would apply to my uh-huh. relationship.
Yeah, well, Scorpio is on the 7th, you're going to involve, remember, you're going to involve your partner on a level where this is about sharing your resources right here. This is where y'all have a joint bank account.
This is where y'all have the insurance policy set up, and y'all actually are planning for the family's survival after y'all get out of here. It's Scorpio and Capricorn on the seventh house represents grown folk business and relationships. That's why I'm an advocate of Saturn. Me and the Prime Minister say Saturn is exalted in Scorpio. And they only two signs away from each other anyway, Capricorn and Saturn. It's a sextile, it's an opportunity. But it's about estates and doing, you know, you're playing longevity. You're going into the future and saying, when I am not here, I have financially made correct decisions to ensure the next generation of my offspring to live. That's a highly responsible thing to do, you see? So with Scorpio here, you got to do the grown man thing over here. And if the relationship is not on that level yet, or you don't want to be on that level, then you got to understand that it may not be, that's not the highest potential, you're not tapping into the highest potential of the relationship. But if you have children, or you know you want to have children and things like that, then it becomes very necessary for you to do those type of things. The relationship has to reflect that kind of thing. And then on more of a lesser scale, it represents you're looking for a person to take that metaphysical journey with you and study and some things. And Scorpio is really a healing energy, too. I always say Scorpio is spank Virgo in healing capacities. But it's very transformational, and it's talking about the regeneration of cells. So the relationship can go through different stages of metamorphosis, literally from sexual secrets being found out and intense conflicts arise from that. Scorpio is about control sometimes, and they don't want to relinquish its control because it just feels like they don't want to let the other person feel like they got the best of them type of thing, jealousy and this nasty possessive ray comes in. But the high side of it, again, like I said, is business, and y'all study occult things together, and most importantly, y'all share in the financial aspect of things together. So this is joint business. You know, rather y'all got your own business, but y'all having an account where y'all put funds into it so the family can grow. And this is why Scorpio naturally trines Cancer. They're both water signs. Cancer is the first zodiac frequency that shapes our psychology about family. The next water sign is Scorpio. So now it says, okay, family, since we was in water, we don't get to water again till Scorpio. Now what? Oh, well, family must learn how to procreate, and family must learn how to stack money and invest wisely to ensure that the family survives. Then the next water sign is Pisces, which just takes you into a whole nother realm outside of the physical world. So that's what the physical component of Scorpio looks like. Grown man game. Especially with Saturn and Scorpio right now is demanding that you put that kind of responsibility and structure inside of your relationships. Or, he says, get out. And it ain't no getting out. Because only thing he going to do is say, I'll see you in 7 years when I square you based off the decisions that you make right now. And then I'll see you in another 7 years when I be in opposition to the decisions that you made right now. And you made these decisions 14 years ago, and then 14 years prior to that. So we was in cycles and cycles and cycles of time through our behavior patterns within a circle. This is why we got to be very conscientious of the things that we do within space and time, because these planets are rolling around. Other planets going to roll there much faster and activate these certain things, and these things come up. They come back into our lives all of a sudden out of the blue. Or we be faced with the same similar situation, and we thought that since we broke up with this person, we don't have to go through it again. So Saturn is demanding that you step up to the plate and become
financially responsible in the joint union and planning of the relationship. This is grown man business over here. Serious stuff. Because you're thinking about how you're going to die. All right.
That's good enough for me.
All right, man. I get with you.
I love it. Peace.
All right. You got to love it. All right. That's a weird number, man. I don't know what this is. It's like 442074. It's got a lot of numbers in here. I just opened up your mic. Hey.
Okay, hi. It's Anne-Marie. Anne-Marie from London.
Anne-Marie.
Hi, Anne-Poo.
London.
Yeah.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi, you know, I put forward my birth chart, and obviously, time permitting, obviously, I haven't got it yet, so I'm always listening to this show, but I'm without a birth chart.
Mm-hmm.
So what I wanted to know, basically, was my chart with my husband's chart, then. My birth date, then. Should I go first? Is that okay?
Well, yeah, let's do that, because since I don't have time, I can't individually get into what you're attracting, but since you're already married, let's go straight to the gusto. What day are you born on?
My birthday is the 12th of July.
Okay, so you come out to a 3, so it's more of a Jupiter type of thing. And when is his? What is his day of birth?
He's 29th of April.
All right, so he's 29th, so he's 11, he's a 2 of 5. All right, so this is a Mercury, this is a communication type of thing in a relationship. And even possibly traveling together will do some good. But communication is very, very, very essential in a relationship. And Wednesdays is the power day that really helps facilitate growth in a relationship. If you're into archangels, that will be Michael, who lords over the relationship. Very, very powerful being to call upon. But communication is just very essential, to always be open and honest with one another, and not holding back. But at the same time, both people, you know, being able to express what is going on. You know, they say relationships is communication is everything. Well, this is more true for you. And see, this is the thing. We've got 7 different vibrations. Communication is just one vibration out the week. It's heightened on Wednesday. Just like love is heightened on Friday. You know what I mean? So the universal aspect of relationships is Friday, but personal for you is Wednesday inside of this relationship. How long have you been married?
Oh, my gosh. 7 years now. Seven
years.
Years.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, the 7-year cycle is a rough cycle.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
You are, it's called the 7-year itch.
Yeah.
And it reaches a point where the first 7 years is going through one conscious cycle of one chakra. If that makes sense. What happens is from age 0 when we're born to age 6, we go through a sun conscious cycle. And then for the next 7 years, we go through a moon conscious cycle. But in a conscious cycle, obviously, is a period of 7 years. But within that 7 years, we go through individual years. So it's a cycle within a cycle.
Right.
And the 7-year mark, this is why the United States knew that they said, okay, I'm going to let you file bankruptcy, but I'm going to let this be good for 7 years. Then you can, you know, you got a 7-year window of time, right? Well, 7 years is a Saturn cycle. Saturn square Saturn. So therefore, it's likely that you will be faced with the same tremendous pressure all over again. And you may not make it out of that 7-year cycle. But if you've been taking care of your business, you will. So it's not a bad thing that it's a 7-year cycle. The 7-year cycle is talking about the 7 days of creation, but just on a larger scale within years. So the relationship finally gets to a point where it's about, it's in this first conscious cycle, where it should be about maturity. And if it's not about maturity, then we create these little tests that come in and test to see if we're mature enough to handle it. A lot of us are not, so therefore the relationship goes sour at 7-year cycle. I'm a testament of that sour, not being mature enough to handle that way. I didn't understand it. A lot of us go through this particular
point of our life, but it's a growing up thing that needs to take place is ultimately what it stands for here, and especially for y'all, since the relationship is ruled by Mercury, which is a neutral energy that sways to the left and right, the good and the bad. It's very important that you try to make it sway to the positive side. And one of the things is if y'all have the same faith and y'all can pray together, the old saying, a couple that pray together, stay together, do that every day, but just make sure that you just say, hey, I love you, you my husband. I love you, you my wife. We love this marriage together, and we still want to be together. Then if that's the case and we call on the power of the Creator, then nothing can come in between that. And since we love each other and we say that's what we're going to do, then the only thing we have to do is just physically demonstrate our love for the Creator. And we just happen to do it on Wednesdays as a power day for the sake of our relationship, because we understand that communication is essential. So the only thing we just need to do is have an agreement that we still want to be together, and an agreement that we're going to call upon the Most High. And once we have those two things, it's a wrap. Everything else is no way that anything can come in and shake the foundation. The question becomes, internally, do both people sincerely still want to be together if the relationship has taken that little, you know, that little roller coaster ride of the 7-year itch? You know what I mean? And that's not, you don't have to answer now. I'm just saying, generally speaking. And if you have an experience and it's all good, and that's great, because that means you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. You're handling your business, and may the Creator bless y'all with another 7. And we got to do this 7 times. 7 times 7 is 49. We get to the great Jubilee marking. 49, 50 years old, we get to the Jubilee marking where we had that 50th anniversary, which is talking about when Sirius A and B switch positions every 49 years. So then it becomes this big grand thing that happens. So welcome to the 7 Club.
Thank you. But could you also make sure my birth chart is done, please?
I can't unless you tell me, because I don't pull up the birth chart here.
Sorry.
Okay, but yeah, just tell me. You got to tell me what's where. You know,
I did it online, if that makes sense, and I sent you an email, because I'm on your mailing list as well.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, I have to. On this show here, I can read you. If you call in, especially since you're calling in from overseas, I know that cannot be free. If you call in Friday, 11:45 my time, I'll take you as caller number one as a promise, because I know you're calling from overseas. And that's the show that we actually do free readings on. That's the show I'll have time. Because what I do on this show here, people have to know their data, and then I can elaborate on it because I know it. You know?
I did it online to get the data from yourself, if that makes sense, to get a birth chart. Yes,
You just got to have it. You just got to have it and know what you're looking at. So you got to tell me, well, I got Venus in Pisces right now. What does that mean? See, everybody that's saying something, they're already looking at their birth chart. You see what I'm saying? And they're telling me what's there, and I'm just elaborating on what's there versus me going into an astral account, putting in your birthday, because it takes time, and this is not the show that I do that on, that's all. Okay. But if you call in Friday for that reading, I'll make sure I take your call. I'll take your call first. You'll be calling number one.
Do you know what? I'm not going to be in town this Friday, because, you know, it's holiday, the next Friday probably.
Just email me before and say, hey, I'm calling in this Friday just to let you know, and then I'll know to look for that number and open your line up, okay?
Thank you very much. The show is very informative. Welcome. Thank you.
Oh man, thank you. Thank you for the support. All right,
bye-bye.
Peace.
Yeah.
All right, where we at? South CAC 803-406.
What up?
What up, what up?
Hello? What's going on?
What up? It's Hootie.
Can you hear me?
What's happening? Yeah, I can hear you.
Well, let me tell you what I got on my DC. I got Virgo, 25 degrees, and Pluto is 29 degrees in Virgo. And I got Uranus, 14 degrees in Libra.
So you got Maleficent big boys over there.
I figured that.
Yeah, Maleficent big boy. But that's cool. I mean, you know, the Pluto
right,
in the seventh just suggests that maybe one time in your life you'll go through a very, very, very intense battle inside a relationship that will force you to grow. But that's a general term. Like, a lot of us go through that stuff, you know.
Right.
But here, it's much more impactful on your psyche, because Pluto really represents the deep aspects of your mind, man. You know, so that is a relationship that will come into your life and transform you. Or that could be the death of someone helps transform your relationship as well. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, yeah, man. Boy, so, man, if your wife got, like, anything in Pluto, especially, like Sun, Venus, and Moon, and Virgo
mm-hmm.
around that area, man, that represents that she'll probably die before you and not get the hell away from you. I'm just saying, we all got to go. But that
right.
represents Yeah, that represents that. You know what I'm saying? It just represents intense transformation, man, in a relationship that will force you to turn into the Phoenix, man, and give your relationship a lot of working power at 29 Virgo, man. That's a lot of working power, slowly trying to creep its way into Libra. But it's a powerful union. With Pluto, we just got to make sure that it's, you know, it's honest and it's not subvertly, low-key doing things to control people, man. Pluto is a very domineering, aggressive planet that wants to seek control over the union, you know. So you just got to, you know, try to turn it into this other aspect of just transformation and growth and not try to control. The best way to try to control the planet is to flow with it. Don't. It's like water. You know what I mean? Water is, you just ride the current, you know, necessarily. You got to be yin and not yang. You know what I mean? Just flow with it.
At this point, we haven't spoken in 2 days now. We got in a little conflict right now. And we're just saying all this.
Okay. It's some other things going on in the air right now.
Right.
You know, that's why I said, you know, Venus by Pluto and Capricorn, she ain't by degree, but still, she retrograding right now, so relationships is about to fill it. And then, you know, Mars is over in Libra in her house looking for her, like, where you at? And she like, come over here, I'll square you. Like,
right.
You know, she out creeping with Pluto, the lord of the underworld right now, Capricorn. That's why I said right now, relationships, man, got to be centered around goals and ambition, man, getting things done, careers type of stuff, man. Ain't necessarily about the lovey-dovey stuff, but it's hard to sell
right,
that one to
right.
a woman. You know what I mean? Ain't selling that to a woman, man. It ain't happening. But we just got to understand the seven rays of vibration. So, you know, Friday
right.
is the day that, you know, we work, but at the end of the day, man, it's just the day that I consistently interject love inside of the union, man. It's about, you know, it's about peace, man. It's about peace in the house, peace between man and woman. As you know, the sages say, man, the creator don't exist inside of a home that's not peaceful. And if you ain't got no mate, then you tripping. You know what I mean? So if it's not peaceful, I mean, every now and then we go through those breaks, but we know at the end of the day you're gonna come back and you're gonna reconcile. So what's the day? What day? What's the day here? The day of birth for you and her?
I'm July 9th, and she is April 30th.
Okay. All right, so she's a 3, you a 9. So see, this is, I'm glad somebody finally called in with a 9, right? So 9 is Maleficent Mars anyway, right? Now 9s are universal, and the only reason that 9s are universal is because y'all automatically allow the other person to rule.
Right.
And that's the great thing, because what happens is, she think that's her name, she as a 9, and what I mean by that, y'all, is this. If your wife is a 3, right, she's born on the 30th, So that becomes 12. 9 plus 3 is 12, and then 1 plus 2 is 3. When a 9 is involved, it's always going to equal the number, the other number, right? It always. 9 plus 7 is 16. 1 plus 6 is 7. You see what I'm saying? It's always going to reduce to the number in question anytime you're dealing with a 9. That's what makes 9 universal. But here's the thing with a 9 man. A 9 man automatically gives the flow of the relationship, the aura of the relationship is going to go in the favor of the woman. So since the nature of the relationship, birthday, the day itself is a day that's compatible, it's her day, then that tells you, in a sense, who the boss of the relationship is. And I, when I say boss, I ain't saying that like, she's supposed to tell you what to do and you're supposed to listen. But
right,
in fact, some places actually teach that, and I get what they're saying when they get on that. You know what I mean? But I just want you to know that, in truth, it is her flow. You see what I'm saying? Because you and nine, you so wild, you so tahootie, it's like, whatever you want, baby, it's yours. I'm a nine. So you can't be walking around not talking to somebody today when you're the one that chose to be a nine and universal and give everybody what they want in this reality. You can't be like
I'm not backing out this time, though. I'm standing ground this time because she was in the role this time, so hey.
No, man, you know what I mean? I'm gonna have to break out the sages on you, man. Now, look, that's what the sages be like. They be like, man, okay. But you told her she was wrong? Give me some insight.
Because we're not speaking right now, so I can't. I'm not going to tell her that. She knows she's wrong, so hey. She knows.
Okay. All right, man. I'm telling you, they, man, they say even if she is wrong, you wrong for making her feel like she wrong. How about that? That's what they're going to come at you say. They're going to say, hey, you wrong for making it feel like she was wrong, because even if she did something wrong, you as a husband, you're supposed to be there to support her. And now what you have did is not talk to her for 2 days, and you further ostracized her and made her feel like she was wrong, and this is not what she got married to you to feel. She has to feel like she's important in the apple of your eye because her soul is dependent upon that type of love from you as a husband. Woo! And you decided to be a non to give it to her. So now you ain't going to talk? And since y'all vibrate to a three, right? Three is a Jupiter energy, which is Jupiter ain't nothing but an oversized Mercury. So you know that's aspirations, and that's communication to a degree too, because it's about higher education. It's Sagittarius is a souped up Gemini. That's all it is. So it's an aspect of communication that has to take place. So. You know, Thursdays is your power day, and, you know, but, you know, you love her so much, you got to tell her that, you know, I love you, and I just love you. I want you to know that. And that's it. Ain't no use of being mad. Because guess what? We know good and well we ain't going to stay mad too much longer. Somebody going to have to break the ice here. Because we don't desire to be in that particular state. You know? You there? Can you hear me? You may be on mute. Yo, on a bad zone. All right, man. I'm gonna come back. I'll come back to you, man. You're long gone. I'll try this 111 again. 111. You there? I hear something. 111.
Yes. Hello.
Hey, what's happening?
Yes. Hi. This is Sister T. How are you?
What's up, Sister T? I'm good.
Okay, I have some questions because I have, I'm a Libra, and I have five planets in Libra.
Ooh.
And
pray.
All,
pray immediately. Pray. Now, go ahead, though.
They're all in my fourth house, conjunct Saturn. So I think, what is it? I think I have Sun, Mercury, Venus, Pluto, and Saturn in Libra. The fourth house.
Why?
So the only why?
Yeah, why would you be born with that?
Wow. I was trying to figure that out myself.
Okay.
So, all of the planets are conjunct Saturn except for Mercury. So I'm just trying to figure out, like, what type of, because I've been having a rough, like, past, I guess, about 3 or 4 years. So I'm really just trying to see where all this, like, energy is coming, where it's going.
Okay. A rough 3 or 4 past years, right? Let's try Uranus is in Aries for 6 more years, and it's been there for about 2 or 3 years itself. So that's there for another 6 more years. You have Pluto in Capricorn that's squaring you. That doesn't come out of there until 2024. So that's been there since when? Like 06, 07 up in that area, I believe. Yeah, it's a lot of pressure. You know, now Mars in the sky is coming where you at. This is a lot of stress. This is a lot of stress, obviously, that you know of. But if all that energy is in the fourth house, it's a blessing because you have ancestral connections. This is in lesson 4 that I gave. You have close relationships, especially if Saturn is there. There's older people in your ancestral lineage that are on the other side of the veil that assist you and help you.
Yeah, I feel that. I do.
Yeah, you have to establish a very strong relationship with these people, these ancestors. You're an ancestral magnet of their folks. That's just what it is. That your relationship is really with them.
And I have a north node in Cancer, so.
Yeah, right. Which is you growing into the constellation of ancestral growth. Anyway, so yeah, this is a lot of pressure there. You with all that energy there in Libra, and Mars gonna be in Libra all the way until late July of 2015. You know, honestly, I just felt it my cosmic duty to produce that Mars prayer and prayer of protection. This is some serious stuff. There's other energies, like I said, Uranus and Aries and Pluto and Capricorn that's been there for a few years that is producing this ray of energy while you're like, what the heck is going on here? Libra is the constellation that's just, you know, unfortunately getting beat up at this particular time for a very long time, which just simply means we have to transform our perception of relationships. And once we can make the adjustment, we'll be okay. We just got to understand what it is inside of relationships that we need, that we're looking for, you know what I mean, and we'll be good. If you can, visit the website and, you know, you need the Mars prayer thing because he's about to come and he's about to light all that up. He's going to say all of that.
Even more so than what it's already
been. Oh, no, you ain't felt nothing yet. No, these next 8 months, you about to get ready. Get ready. Which also,
you know, someone told me that too. Somebody
actually
told me that.
Yeah, it's coming. It's coming.
So can I ask you this? Does it have anything to do with?
I was about to get into that because the fourth house,
okay,
we call that the house of endings. So just like you got ancestors on the other side, this also can represent a time where the fourth house is usually mommy, but you got Saturn in, so it could represent a dad, an older person, or family, period. This is a time where you may get introduced to someone may physically die within these next 8 months, you know. So
I've already
you have
just
to prepare
experienced
yourself
like 4 within the past year, so, you
okay,
know.
All right, so, yeah, it may, then that just may, because you got, like I said, Pluto is in Capricorn squaring you off. Uranus is in opposition to you. So maybe that's all you had to go through, maybe. But with Mars coming, he's certainly going to bring some type of action in this department as well, you know what I mean? So, you know, to experience 4, that's why I said you got a lot of people on the other side of the veil that's there for you. You know what I mean? So really, you got that Anubis energy. You're a graveyard. You're a keeper. You're a keeper. You know, you're a Barasambi type of person that just connected, well connected to ancestral spirits. You know, so yeah, that's what it
okay.
That's what it represents.
Okay, so let me ask you this. I also have Moon in Scorpio and Jupiter in Scorpio in the fifth house. Is that going to help me out any?
Moon in Scorpio is considered to be a moon. It's at its fall. it's a mid-fall for me, but it's said to be weak. It could be a possessive moon. It can be sexual secret moon. Jupiter here brings an abundance of other type of money. Jupiter in the fifth can even suggest that you can have twins, or you may experience the death of a child, of your own child. But it probably can promise the abundance of romance. Yeah, it's a couple things here with this placement. You know, abundance of romance slash with
sexual
partners.
Yeah, and Uranus is also in that house too. I forgot. I'm sorry.
Oh, man, that's my yeah, you got some knowledge.
I forgot to mention that.
Yeah, but it's, you know, it's in Scorpio. Hopefully you don't have no oppositions and squares, but it represents bright children, and children bring you blessings and abundance and whatnot, you know. So that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
Okay. When do you actually do like your free reading? Because I would love for you to do my chart. Like, I'm just going
Fridays at 12 noon. Call in at 11:45.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Brother Ampu. I really appreciate
it. All right. You got it. You're welcome. Appreciate
okay.
Hey, the other caller from the 111. Are you there? Nope. All right, man. I've been on, and it's 1:40. I'm running behind. I see a couple of y'all, man, but y'all just put your hands up. Yo, man, visit the website. You know, again, if you can make it to the Columbus area on February 16th and the 23rd, man, me and Aileen Bay, he doing his thing. Aileen Bay on the 23rd in Columbus is doing the Laws of Attraction, the Science of Manifestation, and I'm going to open up for him and do the Seven Bodies of Light. All right, so again, more information, you can hit my man D-Lo up at 614-202-4512 at February 16th. I'm going to do something, the Jewish Ransom on Black Power, Columbus, Ohio, Exposed, and then the 23rd with Aileen Bay. Then I'll do the whole Seven Bodies of Light by myself on, I believe that's the 3rd of the month of March, man. So we're going to be loaded. Hit my man up for more info. His name is D-Lo, 614-202-4512. Sign up for the Miracle Prayer class that starts on the first of the year, that Wednesday. We're bringing the year in right. Think about that. The new year is on a Wednesday. Wednesday is controlled by Mercury. Mercury is the planet of communication. So therefore, Sirius, because we know what New Year's is, Sirius is communicating. I got to be able to get these cosmic downloads, man. The tree of life is animated in real time based off where you at in the now. So certain downloads come at a certain time, man. So bridge your mind and link up with the luminous light of the Creator, man. So go to the website, myastrologycoach.com, and click on classes and select the 7-week miracle prayer class. Read up on it and enroll today. Let's get the party started, man, and embrace the power of the light. And like I said, man, just stay abreast. If you haven't joined the email list, scroll down to the bottom and join the mailing list, so we can get you all the information and keep you up to breath of the things that's going on. January the 3rd, on a Thursday night, mark your calendars. Minister Jude, myself, and Sheikh Ahmed will be on the air talking about the Whore and the Guru. Interesting show that's coming up, so mark your calendars for that, man. Sister Casilda is coming out on the radio show on Saturdays on 1:11. In itself, so that's going to be a new show that's going to be there, man. It's a lot of stuff going on with myastrologycoach.com, but go to the events tab and stay abreast with us. You need anything, man, feel free to hit me and Keisha up. Select a double dose of best reading you ever get. Guess what? You get one reader for the price of, get two readers for the price of one. You're basically getting a free reading within that service. All right, so visit consultations tab and check on the double dose. And last but not least, if you want to know your children's psychology, hit up the Prime Minister on a consultation and select the children's consultation with Minister Jude. The dude is a genius in giving you the breakdown of your child's life. Man, he gave this one couple a breakdown of their child's life all the way till they was 30 years old. I said, dude, you went that far? You're like, yeah, man. The 30 years old, yeah, man, at age 14, she's going to experience this. Watch out when she at 14 because she's going to have this little boy. I'm like, dude, this dude is crazy, right? Extremely genius, man. But check us out, man, myastrologycoach.com, and peace to the family.